this on?
He's opinionated.
I'd agree with you, but then we'd both be wrong.
He's high energy.
Everybody on? Good. Great. Grand. Wonderful.
And now, he's here to get you through the end of your workday.
After that, I just sort of space out for about an hour.
Space out?
I just stare at my desk, but it looks like I'm working.
Welcome in to the Jake Lovely Show on Sports Fan Radio 1330.
Sports Fan Radio 1330. Jake Lovely, Christian Hager. Launching and embarking on three consecutive hours.
Can you not yell into the mic, please?
Of unfiltered, bridled sports talk.
Please don't do that either. Never mind. Go back like to being loud. Go back to being loud.
Do you like this low timbre you're getting right now? Do you like it when I talk like the microphone?
I can't control myself when you talk like that into the microphone. Please
well, it's
stop.
Good to be with you, Christian. It's phenomenal to be with all of you all around our state line as well. Would you stop making so much noise with the microphone? Good.
Says the one who does nothing but just moves the microphone all around.
You're very... Just be
the entire time you're talking.
Just be a professional. I don't ask for much.
Capital
just,
P?
Just a modicum of professionalism.
It's fine.
Is that our word of the day right out of the gate?
Modicum.
A modicum?
Sure. Is that even how you pronounce it?
Sure.
How do you spell it, Jake?
M-O-D. I-C-U-M?
Sure.
Google it.
Already?
Yeah. Yeah,
North
let's see if I got that right.
Like the second hour before we start. How am I supposed to Google something I don't know how to spell?
I just crushed that so hard.
Did you
M-O-D,
really?
M-O-D-I-C-U-M. The small quantity
that's,
of a particular
that
thing.
That is beautiful.
Especially something considered desirable or valuable. Got a call coming in right out of the gate?
Already.
I like that.
We're starting off. I think they like our banter.
815-874-1330. Well, I got a call this afternoon about a mistake I might have made. I think I might have to be reminded about it on air. Good afternoon. Who's this?
Yes. I wonder if I could talk to Chris for just a moment.
All right.
I'm listening.
The floor is Chris's.
Chris, would you say I've contributed to this program somewhat?
I would say more than somewhat. I would say a lot. What?
Okay. I don't look for pay, you know, any... what do you want to call it? Accolades or anything?
Credit.
Like that.
You know, we're not sending you a plaque or anything, even though
yes.
you probably deserve
yes.
one.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And last night, a friend of yours, I think he's a friend of yours, he sits to your right or left side there in the studio,
mm-hmm.
single-handedly, with his cell phone in hand, decimated my team. By saying, oh, tonight I'm going to be a White Sox fan. Oh, God. So I'd like you to make it your sole purpose today to either get him to pinky square or sign a paper that says never, never again in his life will he become a White Sox fan.
I will make him put his right hand on, I don't know, the Cubs... yearbook or something.
That
I don't
W
know.
Flag that hangs
yeah,
over Christian's
yeah, yeah, yeah.
head.
You're gonna have
as,
to
as good as the Holy
hand
Bible.
On your heart.
Yeah,
and you're gonna have to look at it and say you're never
maybe,
ever gonna root.
Or maybe because it's a White Sox promise, I think I might have to do it to the White Sox Tribune cover when they won
believe
the World
it.
Series. Yeah, then I'll believe it. But okay, I'll swear to that.
I got you, Jake. I will make sure as my solemn vow as a White Sox fan to make sure that this evil, evil person sitting across the desk from me will never put the mush on our team again.
Oh, God. I mean, we weren't doing that good, but that just... I turned on the radio and I thought, what's he done to me? What has he done to me?
It's all his fault. It's all his fault. I know.
Jake, I didn't sleep half the night.
Jake, I know this is hard to believe, but I'm just always operating three steps ahead. I knew this was coming. I knew this would happen when the old mush decided to jump on the White Sox bandwagon. So, of course they got beat 14-2 last night. That's what happens when Logley decides he's going to jump on the team.
You're...
Okay, and you know what happened to me?
What's that?
My wife came in and said, calm down, Jake. It's just baseball.
Yes, man! Yes! This is awesome. Well, and Jake...
Incredibly on brand.
In full disclosure, Jake and I talked a little earlier today, and he said, geez, Logley, what are you doing to me? And I realized after we had gotten off the phone that you had been saying that for about 30 years, but up until now, you weren't saying it about me. So I appreciate that I've taken up that mantle of Logley, geez, what are you doing to me? Because this community needs more of it.
Okay, well, we're proud.
Yes, sir. Have a great day.
Okay, bye.
That's our friend. You had to come in and remind me that I decided that the White Sox could win last night, and then they follow up immediately with a demolishing at the hands of the St. Louis Cardinals. Made the Cardinals look like an absolute juggernaut when they have been able to hit the broadside of a barn for the better part of the year, which is really what I'm good at. I'm really, really excellent, Christian, at making sure whatever I want to happen, the opposite occurs. And I said yesterday that I was okay with the White Sox getting a few wins since they were playing an NL Central team that wasn't the Cubs, and they turn around and do that. But Christian, I want to start today, because I didn't realize this was the conversation, and then really putting my ear down to all around Cubs fans, reading comment responses to our last question that was up on Facebook yesterday. Apparently, Cubs fans, pundits, media personalities, everyone thinks the Cubs have a leadership problem.
Well, duh. They lost the greatest leader of all time.
Not a batting problem, not a pitching problem. Apparently, the Cubs' struggles, and inconsistently, are chalked up to a leadership problem. And you just said they lost the greatest leader of all time.
Actually, they lost two.
Are you talking about Grandpa David Ross?
I'm talking about Grandpa Rossi, and I'm talking about Jake Arrieta. Both slightly different leadership styles, but two of the greatest leaders outside of baseball. Like, it expands past baseball. We're talking about military leaders, leaders of countries. These are just two of the greatest leaders of all time, and they lost both of them in pretty short order.
It goes Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.,
George Washington,
George Patton, David Ross.
And then maybe a couple more world leaders like Gandhi, stuff like that. Then Arrieta.
Gandhi was a world leader?
India, yeah. Then it eventually spread out to the world with his thought and mindset.
Okay. Well, I guess I got to learn. I got to read up on the correct terminology for people like that. But the conversation is frustrating to me. It is baffling to me that we're talking about it, and yet at the same time, I look around and I really take in the idea of the conversation. I say to myself, maybe they're not that far off. I'm conflicted on this subject because in baseball, I don't want to believe that leadership plays the biggest role of all time because players are so isolated. Like, you don't have to I don't see it as you have to get along. The clubhouse has to be in all sync like it does with the players on a basketball floor or on a football field or a hockey rink or things like that. Chemistry feels more important in those situations. But I guess inconsistency comes when the message from top down isn't going through all those channels of coaching to veteran leadership to players who are doing it for a while to young guys. Maybe that channel's a little bit more muddy after, for some reason, David Ross was the conduit to take that Joe Maddon message down and work it down that chain. Maybe Anthony Rizzo isn't supposed to be that guy at the top of the food chain in terms of leadership. Maybe John Lester, as good as he is and as nice of a guy as he is and well-respected of a guy, maybe he's not supposed to be in that top spot in terms of sending the cues out to the rest of the guys on your lineup card. But it just doesn't feel to me as though this is the reason why, despite being 52-37... that the Cubs are below expectation, second place in their division. I don't like making it about leadership, but at the same time, when I see people presenting the argument to me, I find myself going, maybe I underestimate just how valuable this is in a sport. Just because players aren't dealing with each other on a play-by-play basis doesn't mean that having a clear and consistent message isn't important. So I guess because you're not in on the Cubs, I'm not going to ask you whether you think they have a lack of leadership. I guess the question for you is, how much weight do you give even the argument, regardless of what team it is?
Oh, I'm eating this up right now.
Yeah.
I would let you keep going, but yeah. I think I'm pretty full now.
Yeah, I'm saying I'm not making it about the Cubs because you don't care about the Cubs clubhouse. I'm just saying for any baseball team.
I'm taking this in a completely different direction because this is exactly what I needed in my life right now. I didn't know I needed it, but I needed it.
Okay.
This sounds exactly like what we were talking about, and I was making the point when we talked about the Cardinal Way and Dexter Fowler.
Mm-hmm.
When you start to drink the Kool-Aid a little bit too much,
mm-hmm.
and you start thinking Theo can do no wrong,
yeah,
and the Cubs organization can do no wrong,
correct?
you start looking for things outside of the actual field, but off the field.
Look at the lineup.
No, that's fine. That's great at everything. But it just sounds to me like grasping at straws because you don't want to maybe admit that some of these guys that you thought were world beaters.
You've seen them all do it.
Exactly, world beaters.
You've seen them all do it.
Consistent world beaters.
Yeah.
It's just, that's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah.
I do think, yes, leadership is very important in sports. I've seen it from the inside, I've seen it from the outside, I've seen it on different teams. When teams win championships, they will praise their best player first. And then their team leader second.
Yeah.
That's just what always happens. Leadership is very important. That is, there's something to be said. And yes, you can put stock in that argument. But, man, it sounds like exactly like what we were talking about.
Name a more talented team in baseball.
The Yankees?
They have a more talented mitter. They can hit the ball further. They're not a more talented roster.
Adding Stanton probably did it, though.
I'll reiterate. They can hit the ball really, really far. They should have the
it's
two favorites
like
to win the home run derby.
It's not like their rotation's terrible either.
But you just said it's not terrible. A rotation, again, on paper, based on previous results of John Lester, Kyle Hendricks, Jose Quintana, and Yu Darvish.
Maybe the Yankees and the Dodgers are the only ones that come close, and
right.
I will put them maybe there. Yes, on paper. But also, it just sounds like these are our players.
Right.
On
so,
the field,
so
they should not be doing
you
any wrong.
You can only make an argument for two teams in baseball being better than them.
On paper, yeah, probably. Off the top of my head, yeah.
And yet,
because the Red Sox,
the Diamondbacks with an identical record, Atlanta with near an identical record, Philly with an identical record, Milwaukee with a better one, Houston with a better record. That would be another team you could put up there in terms of talent, top to bottom, that we could talk about being equal with the Cubs, Boston. Cleveland. Now, Cleveland's a worse record. They're 49-41, so I should leave them out of the conversation. But you can't tell me something smells fishy with how much we've seen all of these guys succeed under certain circumstances. And now for the last 2 years, and let's be honest about the fact that this time last year we were talking about similar things with the Cubs. They were below 500 the All-Star break. Turned it on in the second half. Same thing could happen this year. And now turning it on would be absolutely unstoppable.
Yeah, they wouldn't have to dig themselves out of the hole.
Yeah, they have no hole to dig themselves out of. They still have a perfectly fine record, only a game and a half outside of first place. But you can't tell me something doesn't seem off. Something doesn't seem to be clicking here. And I am not ready to believe that a team that went to three state NLCSs just isn't as good as I thought it was.
I just don't see from necessarily highlights if I'm forced to watch the Cubs. I don't see the body language being down. I don't see bickering, which you don't see in baseball.
They're
as
still
much.
Doing the celebrations and acknowledgments of the dugouts.
And generally when you have a culture built, you're going to see things like that. And in almost all sports, you look at players when the Nationals. When the Nationals had their players-only meeting, got pushed to their players-only meeting.
Yep.
You could see it leading up to that. You can go back and watch now. They've made highlight tapes of it. The bad body language, the being petty amongst teammates, the just looking like they weren't having fun playing baseball. To my knowledge, to what I've seen in my probably not as much as I should for what I'm doing right now, watching Cubs baseball, I haven't seen that. Maybe you have, but I haven't. And generally, when you have bad leadership or a lack of leadership, you will see things like that.
I'm saying when these types of narratives start leaking out, it usually is because someone knows something.
Someone knows that they're hiding it pretty well.
The tension might be a little more palpable for guys that are on the beat, for the guys that hear things that have candid conversations with people involved in the organization. We're starting to see this narrative start to propagate in a way that makes me give credence to it. And I guess my question is, maybe I don't think Anthony Rizzo is not as talented as I thought he was. Maybe he's not the heir apparent to that spot like I thought he was. when you sign John Lester, you think you're signing also the veteran leader, and maybe he is, but maybe it really only works when he has his personal catcher there to translate the fire into inspiration. Because sometimes, and I'm sure you've encountered this with being on basketball teams and being around basketball teams, there are some guys that have all the passion in the world, and that can be contagious at times, but sometimes it just gets tiresome. A guy who just will not stop challenging teammates to be better because he wants so badly to win. There, that's that athlete mindset, and until you have someone there that can kind of translate that and suss out the positive and take out the negative and then spit out kind of like the water filter, sometimes you lose a little bit of that communication skills, and sometimes that doesn't resonate with the whole ball club. I'm throwing out hypotheticals at this point, but that stuff I think can affect your ball club, and I don't know if it's just they're not as good as I thought they were. Pitching, maybe. Maybe Kyle Hendricks is never going to regain Cy Young form when you throw 90 miles an hour. Eventually, teams figure you out.
I wish I could say the same about you and Yu Darvish, but you weren't really high on him to begin with, so.
I trusted a lot of other people when it came to Yu Darvish. I didn't like the signing at the time. I got talked into it. I should have trusted my gut. But I still did come around, and so I have to wear that one and say that I did say, after a little bit of questioning, he was the best pitcher on the market. It was a fair price. The numbers seemed fair. And so as much as I want to say, I knew it from the start. I didn't do enough talking at the time to really earn that position. And trust me, I'd take it if I thought I earned it. Sports Fan Radio 1330. We're talking about the White Sox when we come back. Because what's also going on is, obviously, Major League Baseball for the White Sox is not of utmost importance. What's going on in the minor leagues and how guys are developing is. And unfortunately, a lot of their top prospects are not playing right now or are battling injuries. Something that didn't happen to the Cubs, maybe that was just extreme luck, and maybe White Sox fans should be a little interested as to whether these guys are going to get the normal development path. We all targeted 2020, but is that reasonable after some of the injuries they're dealing with now? Sports Fan Radio 1330, Jake Logley, Christian Hager with you till 5 o'clock. SportsFanRockford.com, the brand new website. You can stream us anywhere, anytime. Back with more after this. You know, sometimes the off-air is even better than the on-air.
Sometimes.
Sports Fan Radio, 1330. Jake Logley, Christian Hager. Good to be with you. 2:20 in the afternoon. So glad you made us part of your day. Christian, all you said when you started this makes me want to jump out of a plane. And what movie are you referencing?
Iron Man and then Deadpool.
They also played it in Deadpool?
Yeah, that was the whole joke when they jumped out of the plane in Deadpool 2.
I guess I didn't pick up
hit
on that nuance.
Music cue because they were making fun of Iron Man for... Yeah.
Yeah, I miss out on some things.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah.
Well, it probably would have been even funnier to you. You found it pretty amusing, but it would have been even more amusing had you known what exactly I was referencing.
How did I not notice
you had half the reference.
Man, Deadpool 2 pulled one severely over on me. I guess I got to watch that movie again, make sure there wasn't anything else that just got
severely
over.
Oh, I'm sure there was. I did that with the first one, too. I haven't got a chance to rewatch the second one, but I noticed the second and third watch through the first one that there was a lot I missed.
Well, there we go. Now, there's like an Easter eggs of funny.
Yeah, but also, I felt like that one was a pretty big part of the movie.
Hey, bro.
I'm just saying.
Why you gotta make me feel bad?
Maybe you just went to a late showing. It was past your bedtime. I don't know.
Right now, my bedtime is about 8:30 p.m.
How do you even live?
All my 4:40 alarms. this first one. How do you? It's gonna really stink because, folks. If you didn't know what's going on here, I'm also starting to do mornings with our friend Judy from B103 from 6 to 9 in the morning, and so my alarm goes off at about 4:44. Respect to Hova. Every single morning. And I like sleep. It's one of my favorite things. I get accosted for how much I sleep. For how much I like to sleep. Not just how much I sleep, but how much I seem to enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
I like being up for 12 hours a day. I like sleeping for 12. Like everyone says, like, oh, you spend a third of your day in sleep. If it were to me, I'd spend half my life in it. It's that good.
That's kind of concerning.
Oh,
but
it's sickening. If I left to my own devices, if I didn't have things to do, if I won the lottery and could just start doing whatever I want all day, it could potentially be a 12 and 12 situation. Because I feel like I'm on then. I feel like I'm easier to be around. As you know quite well, I get a little ornery at times. I feel like if I just get a ton of sleep, easy going.
So what you're saying is, be prepared for ornery Jake for 2 weeks?
Yeah.
The next 2 weeks?
Be prepared for something. It might turn into a little bit of a crapshoot here. But, hey, listen, we're here.
Live catfight in studio.
We're having fun.
The claws come out.
No, I will try to start a catfight, and then Christian will just hit me in the face with a closed, like, left hook because he boxes.
Just I didn't even have to do it this
just
time.
A real clean just jab right down the middle. Just right between my dumb eyes.
I have completely...
And just compress my nose into my face.
Brainwashed you to the point where I don't even have to shoe in that I box sometimes. You're doing it for me. Thank you.
I just remembered it once. He'll just hit me with just the straightest down the middle cross I've ever seen in my entire life. And I won't even see it because it'll just come so fast and I'll just black out.
Thank you for... thinking that I was a
that's what
boxer
happens if I try to start
predicated
a fight.
On speed.
That's what or maybe he'll just try to hide it and go to the body once.
Speaking of speed, real quick. Yeah, we're already off track here.
And
so,
that'll happen.
In my bedroom back in Iowa, I have a little trophy on there. And the plaque of this trophy says world's fastest runner.
Yeah.
And there's a little backstory behind this. Mm-hmm. One summer, I went to the Boys and Girls Club. I've talked about this a lot. They give the kids awards that are like kind of funny awards based on like best moments from the summer that the camp people remember.
Can I take a guess real quick?
Yes,
you
can.
Did they give you an ironic world's fastest runner trophy?
Oh, it's even better. Okay.
Oh no.
We were at the pool one day because we had pool days and, we're standing in the parking lot and all of a sudden the ice cream truck drives by. I start sprinting after it. And they gave me an award for that moment because I sprinted after the ice cream truck and they said that I was the world's fastest runner.
You were at the pool?
Yeah, we were outside the pool in the parking lot waiting for the shuttle to come pick us up.
Did you even have cash on you at that point?
Because every single time you went to the pool, you got like $2 if your parents left it with you, $2 for the concession stand at the pool, and I didn't spend it there. Yeah. But then obviously I just hear the song and I was like, oh, this is going to be funny, and then just sprint after the ice cream
guys,
truck.
This is also a real insight into the brain of Christian Hager, because that means, like, if how old were you at this time? Guesstimate.
Probably 9 to 11.
9 to 11. You give a 9-year-old $2 for a concession stand, he's buying a soda, right? And so if every day or every other day or every few days your parents were leaving you $2 and you were trying to pocket that $2 every day... That's a shrewd entrepreneurial move right there. Just to every time your parents give you $2, just say, I'm going to invest this and keep that in my back pocket. And you were building up a stockpile until the ice cream man came.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you went that direction and not none of the concession stand was good enough or just I was too obsessed with ice cream.
No, because you didn't know the ice cream truck was coming.
True.
Right, fair enough. But you could make a stance that Christian had so many hot takes about the items at the concession stand and was so picky about it that he also was like, who are you people? Why do you have this? This is what 9-year-old you sounds like to me. Who are you and why are you carrying this stuff in this concession stand?
Which then comes full circle to my role is this weekend in internet. This week in internet, a big thing is quote tweet this with the most on-brand story from your childhood. That might be the most on-brand story from my childhood.
Yeah. You want to hear the most on-brand
one?
Oh,
yes. Here we are. Let's go. Also, Croatia just tied it 1-1.
That is what we're talking about right now. That is so great for the brand.
But no, most on-brand story from your childhood. Let's go.
She's an organizer of the Pro-Am. I also went to grade school with her grandson. Judy Sheely told someone in our office here this story that it was Grandparents' Day. Where grandpa or grandma or both would come in and you would do like show and tell with your grandparents. And kids also had to fill out a little answer question, second grade, however old you are there. and favorite this, favorite that, and favorite book came up. And old Kiss Up Jake didn't read, not reading at all, not knowing what to put, but wanting to make a good appearance. Guess what he wrote?
The Bible.
The Bible. Good holy Bible, baby. And therein lies the true essence of my chameleon-like nature, that in second grade at Catholic school, when asked of my favorite book, I put the Bible.
Yeah, I'm like halfway through the New Testament right now. Yeah. It's really picking
up
steam.
I'm cruising through Numbers right now, and I got to tell you, the text is rich. The text is real rich.
I've already filled up 3 notebooks worth.
Guys, you reap what you sow. Guys, you can't serve 2 masters. Second grade Jake just out here. Just read the parable of the prodigal son, and got to tell you, everything I have is yours, but... He was lost, but now he was found.
All these other kids. Oh, yeah, I like that one Clifford book.
I like Clifford the Big Red Dog.
Judy B. Jones? Love that.
Mostly a fan of the book Judges within the Holy Bible. I'm trying to think of the most obscure books of the Bible that I still remember from Catholic school. Numbers.
Oh, wow.
Big Deuteronomy guy.
Big Deuteronomy guy. Huge Deuteronomy guy. I've read the entire Bible, all the books.
Definitely have. 12 years of Catholic school will do that too. Is that a good on-brand story?
Oh, because of the kind of, you admitted now that you had no favorite book, but you knew kind of subconsciously.
Yeah,
this like is what they wanted to hear.
No, it's not like, not even like what they wanted to hear is what does second grade me think they want to hear? Like, I thought it was just crushing it.
And then they all do.
Yeah.
They all do.
Yeah. Mrs. Sheely was very nice, and she said, oh, well, sweet Jake Logley said the Bible. I was like, you have no idea just how much I was already trying to BS you. You and everyone else in the classroom that day.
Oh, the segment was supposed to be about White Sox injuries, but if you learned anything about me, I like to distract. I'm like a magician.
Guys.
I've taken a couple classes online, and I'm basically a magician.
You learned something about Christian and I. That I am maybe the greatest BS artist of all time. Or at least up there.
And I have an obsession with ice cream.
And Christian, if the jingle of an ice cream truck were to roll by... He might just abandon his post as a producer.
So my aunt was always one of the staff members there. So whenever there was even like we could be at a family gathering and there'd be an ice cream truck outside, she would always give me a look and be like, are you going to go run after it? I could be like 17 and she could still give me that look and ask if I was going to run after it. So that's stayed with me.
I appreciate that. Well, I'll tell you what. We've already ran our full length of this segment since one went long. So let's go ahead and hit a break, and when we come back, maybe some sports talk. I want to ask Christian, I want to tease him about the White Sox injuries and try to convince him that he should be smashing the panic button, given all the injuries you're getting AA and AAA. Sports Fan Radio, 1330. Sports Fan Radio, 1330. Jake Mobley, Christian Hager, good to be with you. July 11, 2018. Am I yelling too much, Christian?
Well, the song was a little loud, so okay. That's fine.
You'll forgive me this once?
Yeah, you were trying to scream over the song. I understand.
I appreciate that. Are you sure you don't like NPR, Jake?
I don't know if that's NPR, Jake, or call line, Jake.
The story of the Chicago White Sox in 3 acts. Act 1.
You left MTV on a little bit too late at night.
Yon Mankata. A baseball player or so much more? Dial 1-900.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm up late. I want to talk to you. This is a... You can tell I have not. I did not get to go home and grab a nap today. It is so apparent.
And then it just comes full circle with the Jake from State Farm. Just, yeah. You, just,
what are you wearing?
Khakis.
She sounds hideous.
But... Okay, so just real quick. So I'm not that worried because outside of Berger and then the one hitter who I'm blanking on his name who came out today that has to get Tommy John surgery, a lot of these are minor injuries. They keep kind of piling up.
Right, but Roy Jimenez has been battling the hammy for a while. Louis Robert has also been battling an injury. And then the other gentleman who needs Tommy John.
But I would rather it happen now than what's happening kind of with Avisaille right now, where he just can't stay on the field. Granted, he's not going to be a part of the rebuild. Once they get there, Adolfo, he's going
to
be gone.
Adolfo needs Tommy John today.
Yeah.
And that's like part of the outfield of the future. It's supposed to be
Eloy,
Robert, Eloy, and this guy.
And well, no, because I'm not sure if you heard, but Tim Anderson's going to move to center field.
Yeah, so we got that going.
But, no, I like I said, I would rather it happen now than once they got to the majors and then couldn't
get
over the
injuries. Right, but it pushes that date back.
The major injuries do, but I don't think Eloy or Luis' small injuries are really pushing it back that much. Because even Rickon today, they were asking him questions, and he said, we're not going to rush him back on the field.
Yeah.
These are minor injuries. Like, we'll let it play out. We have no misconceptions about how fast we need these guys to be up here. We're going to let it play out. So I think this has always been the plan. I think we artificially put that 2020, but I think we maybe rushed what we thought that date was going to be.
Yeah, I'm looking at 2021 now. I mean, Jake Berger hasn't barely played any baseball, and he was a first-round draft pick, high first-round draft pick at that. That's and one of them was he was playing with his dog. Well, that's the story we got anyways.
Yeah.
Playing with his dog in the backyard and ends up tearing his Achilles. Here's what I want to know. How do these major athletes get hurt in such heinously simple ways?
Your muscles are pretty sore, overworked from being an athlete, that if you are to do anything just slightly wrong, it's like a ticking time bomb. If you're to step the wrong way, if you do anything differently, because if you think about it, your muscles get used to doing what they have to do for that sport you're playing, which works the muscles, but they know what they're doing. So outside playing with your dog, you jump, you run the wrong way. You're not running a base path, and also it's not level ground. You step the wrong way because those muscles are so tense, overworked from being an athlete that all of a sudden it's a ticking time bomb. That's why I think you see more off-field injuries being like weird injuries with athletes rather than you would assume that the everyday person would tear their Achilles more so when they're playing with their dog if an athlete's going to do it. But I think it's the opposite of that.
It wasn't yesterday. Dr. Lynch was in yesterday. We weren't talking about this, but we talked about what I'm going to say in the past. He sees a big problem with athletes and the injuries. It's that they're just carrying an insane amount of muscle that their musculature, that their bone structure just isn't made to handle, that the human body just isn't able to handle it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you're seeing all these athletes who can run 4.3s, but they have more ACLs than anyone else on planet Earth. They have more ACL injuries, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
Could the same thing be true in a sport like baseball? A guy like Jake Berger, who can hit the ball a country mile, he's not a bodybuilder, but carrying a lot of weight around to help do that. The same thing could be happening in all sports, where our athletes evolving to a point just with strength and speed so much further than maybe evolutionarily our structural possibilities for our bone structure are able to handle, and that's why we're seeing all these freak injuries. It's just crazy to me that all of these things are happening kind of at the same time for the White Sox. Like you said, all these guys kind of hitting the disabled list at the same time, with Mickey Rodolfo needing Tommy John, Eloy Jimenez, Louis Robert, and Dane Dunning all on the DL.
Tommy John for a hitter?
Big problem. Now, Gleyber Torres had it on his non-throwing elbow. Just a crazy string of luck.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's an all-star.
But this guy's a DH, so this is inhibiting his swing to a certain extent.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what, I don't know, maybe his swing's going to be completely different, kind of like Fultz's jump shot, you have a certain injury and then all of a sudden you just can't swing the same way, you can't shoot the same way.
All I can compare this to is what I know. I don't know the intricacies of the asshole or the Indians kind of bringing prospects up, or other teams that have been through this process. All I know is the Cubs, and if this had been happening during 2012, I might be a little bit nervous about where this thing's going.
Well, with the Astros, I just saw a funny tweet today about how, like, we expect, when we talk about the Cubs, when we talk about the Astros, we think they did all the right moves and made no mistakes.
Right.
But the Astros passed on Chris Bryant.
Yep.
They had the chance to take and passed on Chris Bryant. So there's always going to be mistakes in any rebuild in any sport. So looking for perfection.
Speaking of guys who aren't playing, Chris Bryant battled
out. He's back. Today.
Haven't been playing.
Yeah, hadn't been playing, but he's back today.
That have battled some injuries. Rizzo's battled some injuries. I had a bad back rolling out of bed. So that just happened at a major league level instead of when he's in the minors. So, I mean, I guess I maybe am just kind of overestimating here. But also look at the guys that have come up. Look at the guys we've already gotten to look at. Has Yoan Moncada delivered on his high expectations?
From one side of the plate and on the defensive end. He's not going to be a switch hitter the rest of his career. I think that was, we were really hoping that, yeah, we have this really good prospect who's going to be a switch hitter for years to come and bring us just a really, really good, versatile piece on the lineup, but he's not hitting.
Is it creeping into your mind that you acquired a lot of these guys via trade? Opposing GMs are not keen on giving away players who they think are going to be future superstars, that maybe with Moncada, with guys who are now dealing with injuries, that maybe the opposite GM do something that the White Sox didn't?
No, because at the end of the day, that's a little bit of revisionist history, because
sure,
it's forgetting or not mentioning the fact they gave up Jose Quintana for Eloy,
yep,
and they gave up Chris Sale for Yoan Moncada. So those are two, I would say, pretty top-tier talents there.
No, that's what I'm saying. And the baseball prospectus rankings on these prospects lead everyone to believe. I mean, no one slept on the returns the White Sox got. A year ago, we were talking about them having the best farm system in baseball, and it was basically indisputable after they made the trade for Jose Quintana.
Now they've dropped down to three.
Based on rankings.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, like we talked about the other day when I compared it to college recruiting, our 24/7 recruiting numbers a definite 100% indication that a player is going to be a superstar?
No.
In the same way that being a top prospect in baseball doesn't guarantee that you're going to be a great player once you get to the major leagues.
No, but that's why you
and
get
some,
as many
and
as you
sometimes,
can.
Especially after when the guy's been in your system, you get a look at something that maybe other teams around the league haven't seen yet. And maybe while it's a top prospect in baseball to all these writing organizations and to all the other teams, maybe to you, it's you've now changed your tune to maybe Boston at the time was saying, Yoan Moncada is probably going to be pretty good, but maybe not worth the evaluation what we could get for him on the open market. Same thing said for Lucas Giolito or for, I don't think that's what the Cubs are saying about Eloy Jimenez. I think they had to do whatever they had to do to get another starting pitching. But, you know, I'm just saying that those prospects don't just get given up. Even for Chris Sale, even for Jose Quintana. And I'm trying my best not to onset panic, but I would be a little bit concerned if I was the White Sox, because like you said, this number keeps getting pushing back, and now you can say all you want, it was probably far-fetched from the beginning to say 2020, but was it? Best farms 17, no, 3 years from then, you could be a competitive baseball team?
Not far-fetched, but I think just pushed down our throats to a point where we had to believe it.
Yep.
I don't think it was far-fetched because, yeah, you hope that it's only going to take 3 years, but is it a likely possibility? Maybe not. I would say maybe push it to 50-50 that you can turn around a farm system in 3 years.
We have a World Cup game going on right now, about to reach 90 minutes. Christian will tell us what's happened to this point between Croatia and England. Maybe gear us up for extra time. We'll tell you all about it when we come back. Sports Fan Radio, 1330. Sports Fan Radio, 1330. Said you're doing this one for England, huh?
Yep.
You and I find ourselves diametrically opposed at this point in time. Because, Christian, I got bad news for you. It's not coming home.
Well, it's definitely not coming home. Because whoever wins this game is definitely losing to the French.
Well,
but
have you seen the video of the wedding? The dad giving the toast and then he says it's coming home and then everyone freaks out?
No.
That's pretty good. On the Trippier,
yeah.
Am I getting that right now? Goal. The watch,
normally referred to as Trip.
The watch party where with the beer splashes,
yes,
is pretty
that
intense.
That has become the most consistent thing about this World Cup is just English fans wasting a ton of beer whenever their team scores a goal.
Also, a staple of Blackhawk playoff game watch parties in bars.
It's just beer everywhere.
Just beer flying everywhere on goal.
Yeah, can't see I would enjoy that very much.
If it's your team, then it's pretty awesome.
I would just drink mine and then throw my cup in the air or something, but catch it because environmentally friendly.
Nope.
Just nope.
There's a crew afterwards that's taking care of the environment afterwards.
But, yeah, I know. I had to be on that crew before. It's not fun.
Is that fun?
Oh, not at all. Not even a little bit. Individual seats? Popcorn? No. No, thank you.
Well, we are going into extra time in Russia. The site of the final. This is the semifinal. We've just reached the end of stoppage time. Now going towards extra minutes. What is our score, Christian?
1-1.
Who are our goal scorers?
Trippier. And I actually don't know who scored for Croatia.
Oh, gosh darn it. How will I know who to thank the good lords for today?
I bet it ends with teach.
Or just itch.
Let's see.
I bet it ends in an I, soft C.
I, soft C. Somehow, someway. No. Well, yes, I see. S-I-C, though. Ivan Perisic.
Perisic with the goal for the Croatians.
In the 68th minute, Trippier in the 5th minute, really early on for England. That looked like they might run away with the game, and then they just kind of forgot how to score.
Well, Croatia wins today. That's 2 in a row hot takes for the kid.
Wow.
Wouldn't that be? Because Kyle still pitched a gem.
They lost, but... Yeah, because normally you end your hot takes when you talk about a Kyle gem with and Cubs win, but I think you did it so late in that show that you didn't have a chance to get it out. So I'll give you that one.
Cubs won 2-0 today. They're in action right now for a day's game against the San Francisco Giants. Currently in the top of the first inning, we'll be giving you all kinds of updates throughout the show as to the score there. The White Sox taking on the Cardinals again. At Guaranteed Rate Field, 710, 635. All right here on Sports Fan Radio, 1330. I thought you were gearing up to say something.
No. I'm really, really impressed that Magic Johnson admitted that he pulled the anxious date, the really scared for a first date move, and waited an hour in the car before meeting LeBron James at the start of free agency.
Here's the thing. You have any event that you're nervous about, important meeting for a job, important date, important anything.
I don't go on a lot of dates, so I don't know how that feels.
You get there early. Well, if you're picking up someone on a date, you're probably picking her up, right? But let's say you meet there, first date, you're meeting there.
Sit outside her house for an hour?
Yeah. Are you a wait in the parking lot guy, or are you a go inside guy?
Wait in the parking lot guy.
See? Same. I don't know what it is.
But I don't go a full hour. Like, I wouldn't go...
An hour's a lot.
Yeah. But no.
And I mean, outside someone's house... Just probably see if he's home, right?
LeBron, are you there? Wait. But instead of Kiki, it's LeBron James. Do you love me?
You set up the soundboard so for all of your jokes. You have rigged this.
You thought I was doing it for the betterment of the show?
No.
No, 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 no.
Yeah, you've been thinking about that line.
Betterment of my comedy shtick.
Yeah. And trust me, what a shtick it is. What a piece of shtick it is. One of the biggest pieces of shtick I've ever seen in my life.
Walk softly and carry a big shtick.
And trust me, the president has a big stick. We should get that Joe Biden line on our soundboard. Just saying that's a bunch
of
money. We just
need an entire separate soundboard of just Joe Biden sound drops. That's it.
One of just the best of one Joseph P. Biden. I don't think his middle name starts with P. I just threw one out there.
No, it's fine.
Joseph VP Biden.
VP. Just forever VP.
Is that a title for life? President is, but is vice president?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought so.
Former vice president Joe Biden.
I mean, we're wrapping up here. We probably shouldn't stay on this for very long. Did you see that apparently Sacha Baron Cohen's getting raked over the coals for going covert as a disabled
raked
vet?
Raked over the coals. I thought it was okay. It's Sacha Baron Cohen. Are we surprised?
Right, but another level. I'm not sure how I feel about it. For once, that's the one time in my life, and hopefully forever, I'll agree with Sarah Palin. Sports Fan Radio 1330 Hour 2 is coming up next. Sports Fan Radio, 1330. Hour two of the program. Jake Logan alongside Christian Hager. Happy to have you along for the ride. We are intently watching extra time of this World Cup semifinal between Croatia and England, currently notched at 1-1. Good to have you here. Good to be with you today. A lot of baseball talk. Hour one, talking about the Cubs. Apparently, the narrative starting to form that leadership becoming an issue. White Sox, lots of injuries mounting at the major league level today. Just as a piece of news, Avisail Garcia did have to hit the 10-day disabled list again with his hamstring still.
It's a different hamstring, though.
Not fully healthy.
It's one of 15 hamstrings.
Yeah, he has a lot of hamstrings, and they're all injured all the time.
And it's not as major as the last hamstring injury.
So at least we got that going for us, which is nice.
Yeah, but he's 27. Like I said, it just hurts his trade appeal.
And I thought if there was a time to trade him, it was last year. I don't know what the
probably
market was.
When he was an all-star, yeah.
He was an all-star last year?
Yeah.
He was their guaranteed in?
Yeah.
That makes sense.
He had 18 home runs.
Oh, he started incredibly hot. I was advocating for trading him just like anyone else.
Yeah, no, but he was an all-star last year.
Christian, a topic that was coming up yesterday, the last few days, kind of circulating around sports circles, the stick to sports topic kind of coming back up, but this time it's coming from the group that's been most ardent as to leave politics out of sports. That's the NFL owners group. So, without fully putting you on the soapbox, why don't you tell me what's going on?
So, Cardinals executive, president, Arizona Cardinals, football team, obviously, Michael Bidwell. He tried to pull one of the most expertly timed and planned distraction techniques I've ever seen.
Okay.
But it didn't work. So he came out and said players should restrict game day statements.
Yep.
Stay out of politics, but should speak up all the other days of the year. Just restrict yourself for 20 days out of the year.
Yep.
Okay. I can understand where he's saying, you know, I can understand what point he's trying to make. They're playing a game. This is supposed to be a day of football.
Just not the day that everyone can see you. The days where no one can see you.
No, when your
audience is cut maybe into a 16th.
Yeah, then you can talk.
Go say whatever you want.
But he says this the exact same week that he uses the team site.
Yep.
The team Twitter to put out an article full of quotes in support of Donald Trump's Supreme Court nominee, who was a high school classmate of him and also Yankees general manager Brian Cashman. On the team
quite a high school class just
website.
churning out successful people. That's pretty nice. Good for that high school.
Why is this on a team website? If you're going to say, like, I can understand putting it out on a personal blog,
Yep. Maybe
putting it on a letterhead, because I remember John Elway did that during the presidential campaign. He talked about Donald Trump and put the Broncos letterhead on it, which is probably not great.
Go to TV interviews.
But on the team website and then sharing it on the team Twitter.
Yep.
And then trying to say we should separate ourselves on the football platform. What's the difference between using the football Twitter and the football team site, which is supposed to be about team news, team updates, to talk about politics, than on game day?
The sports Twitter, which usually is for this player is out of Sunday's game, or we've announced...
Or training camp's going well.
We're giving away Larry Fitzgerald bobbleheads on October 30th this year.
Things like that.
Yeah.
I guess the quick argument response to that is, well, it's not a game day. It's not like he owns the team. He can do with it what he wants, and it's not a game day. So technically, he's not stepping on his own toes. But I think he still is, because it's advocating for... He tried to make it seem like, oh, I'm still advocating for players to speak out, but just don't do it on the game day. Well, that's when, you know, the Cardinals brand is most on view. And he decided to let his personal feelings on a political topic on something with literally the Cardinals brand on it.
Yeah, it couldn't be any more contradictory to his previous statements. There's no way around that. Oh, and it just so happens. But if some NFL owner were to release a statement on the team website in ardent, a absolute refusal, rebuttal of the president's comments, or something political that you would ideologically agree with, would you find the hypocrisy in that?
Yeah, but I would enjoy the heck out
no,
of it.
No, but I wouldn't want to. I wouldn't want to bring it up for being hypocritical. I just praise it.
Yeah, exactly. I would enjoy the heck out of it.
Right. So
I think the timing of it is what's more annoying than anything else.
We can't ignore that part of it where you. Someone. I'm not. And I'm making about you because you're in front of me. I've said that many a times. I'm not just making these things about you. But the reason why this guy's getting raked over the coals is because it came out of the platform that's pretty much become a power vacuum for the opposite ideology. So when these things come out, of course, everyone's going to want to point out how ridiculous it is. But if it were to be in line, they would praise them for their courage and for using their platform for good, just like we do with players. But the players aren't asking for anyone to censor themselves. So point taken on that front, on a point that you haven't even made yet.
That I haven't even made yet. Thank you for giving me points. I appreciate when you just hand me points that you just assume I'm going to make because, hope that I would make.
Yeah, because I know you, and I know you were thinking the same thing. I just wanted to tie a bow on it. No, we don't have to go there. I appreciate it. So you're absolutely correct. There's no way around that.
I'm more annoyed with the timing of it than anything else. I wasn't a big fan of Elway using letterhead to come out in support of Donald Trump, but
I don't think he's using letterhead either.
But when it's a social issue, or if it's in response to, you know, what's happening at the border, things like that, then obviously I would eat it up. Yeah, I can't deny that.
If it was someone who would.
Like if they
been
used,
hypocritical,
no. If they had used letterhead to say, we believe ICE is a defunct organization and is a bad organization, we should abolish it. Mm-hmm. And they use team letterhead for that. Obviously, I eat it up.
Yeah, hopefully we all would. I mean, let's be clear about that. I don't think there's anyone in this country. Well, you hope so. But there are people in this country that are happy about Brett Kavanaugh's appointment. Like, regardless of what we want to believe, there are those people exist. They are tax-paying, voting Americans. They have a voice. And to a part of the population, that was the same thing that it would be to you if an owner wrote a scathing condemnation of the White House, you know? So to a lot of other people, this is, oh, thank God, an owner or an executive finally has the guts to say something
like
this.
Yeah, and it was... comments on it, but it was also part of a larger letter that Brian Cashman himself and 150 other people, classmates, people that knew him, wrote a letter to Senate in support saying you should appoint this nominee, everything, let it go through. He's a good guy. We've known him for this many years, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, that's the difference between the Yankees and the Arizona Cardinals. One knows the time and place, the other one's the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, because I don't think Cashman wrote another op-ed in their team website about it.
Yeah, didn't post to the team Twitter his ardent support and using the team fan base to disseminate that message. That's just dumb. Like, take appropriate or right out of it, right and wrong, or appropriate, inappropriate. It's just dumb.
Especially with how hot stove this any topic has gotten when it comes with this White House.
Why are you talking about this? The whole reason owners advocate for... And I... to leave this, and we've talked about this in different ways before. Owners don't want to talk about politics because they're conservative, right wing guys that don't want anyone taking their money more at tax time. They don't care nearly as much about that. They just don't want people talking about politics because it's divisive, and they need people to come together. The entire point of owning a sports team is you're capitalizing the fact that these people want to come 60,000 at a time to come fill up the stadium and all cheer for the same thing. And if you're drawing lines between that group, that's not a good thing. No matter where you align, that's never a good thing for your ultimate goal of, I want to funnel as many people wearing the same color and cheering for the same thing into this building at this time on this day. So let's even, if that's just the goal, you've totally went opposite of that. You've ostracized all kinds of fans. I mean, and you gave me the money team sign. Yeah, it's money.
Yeah.
It's not because they're racist bigots, and that's why they don't want players kneeling for the national anthem. They think it's going to cost them money. They think it's going to keep people from going to games. And it's not like they're out of the goodness of the heart. Well, those folks should get to enjoy football. No, they want them paying for the public seat licenses and the face value of those tickets. and the jerseys in the pro shop in the concourses and the $7 hot dogs and the $9 beers. They're not in the stadium. They can't do any of that. That's all it is. So that's the bottom line. It hurts your bottom line by doing this. Take the politics out of it. Take the hypocrisy out of it. Take the issue out of it. Just dumb for that reason. Let's boil it down to that. You know, I'm not taking a political stance. I'm saying for that reason, in trying to make as much money as you possibly can, you blew it by putting that in your team Twitter. So, yeah, Michael Bidwell, regardless of my political affiliations, ideologies, beliefs, you're still an idiot. You still need to think these things through more because you just probably cost yourself money. Now, Arizona, also a Republican state, also a red state. Some questionable policies have passed through that state at one time or another. We won't go into that right now. So maybe this in that state in particular, maybe doesn't hurt as much. He probably knows that. But why would you risk it? What do you have to gain? The guy that's already appointed. I don't know. Any other closing thoughts before we hit a break here? Because this was something that you wanted to bring to the table here. So I want to certainly give you the last word. If you have anything else to add, currently I'm seeing Croatia and England the 105th minute, 106, somewhere around there, still tied at 1-1.
They are in stoppage time of the first extra time half.
Okay.
Time.
Sports Fan Radio 1330. We'll give you another update on that when we come back. Here's Dan Patrick with Above the Noise. You're listening to Sports Fan Radio 1330.
Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. I don't have to tell you how popular soccer is.
Sports Fan Radio 1330. Jake Lobley, Christian Hager, 3:15 in the afternoon. Good to be with you. 1-1 our score at the World Cup. Croatia and England. Cubs currently trailing the San Francisco Giants 4-0 in the top of the second inning. Kyle Schwarber, with no men on base, tried to go yard, made it to the warning track, then tracked down by the left fielder. All of the Giants' runs coming in the bottom of the first inning. A Duggar single scored Hernandez. Hernandez that doubled to deep right center? That doesn't seem right.
Who is pitching?
A Dearnod home run, then a Hernandez double to deep right, scored McCutchen and Crawford. Then Duggar scored Hernandez. I just had the order wrong.
Who's pitching for the Cubs?
Pitching for the Cubs. His counterpart today is Johnny Cueto. But for the Cubs, starting... Ah, darn it. It's the ace.
Oh, no, not Mike.
It's Mike Montgomery. The ace of the staff on the mound today. Getting a little bit beat up early. 4 hits, 4 earned runs. 1 walk, 1 strikeout. ERA already bolstered above 4. With 1 inning at 4 and runs. So, not great for Michael. Oh, I can't catch a break on the starting pitching, can I? Just one break. Just one break would be nice.
No.
But listen, when you go to 3 straight NLCSs and you have 1 World Series in those 3 years, you don't earn many breaks.
I cannot wait till that streak breaks.
So, like 5 years from now?
I'm going to turn off my mic for a little bit.
See, the worst part is like that joke really worked because everyone could hear your mic cutting out because you're still saying out. So I appreciate that.
Shtick.
Victor Caratini did, though, get a hit with 2 outs in the top of the second, which I appreciate. At least someone's trying today with a day game out in San Fran.
I'm not quite sure why I'm here or what I'm doing.
Every time you talk about the Cubs.
Christian had the pleasure of showing me. Every once in a while, the internet does come in handy and tells me why all is good and right in the world. And that's when videos like that, where they're talking in Davenport, Iowa, in a city hall meeting about zoning of Portillo's, and some lady comes in and just gives a absolute diatribe about her divorce and how no one's helping her. Halfway through, just delivers, I don't know what I'm doing or why I'm here.
And that's how I feel when you start talking about the Cubs.
Oh, man, that is just too good. Whoa, was that Mike Montgomery just ripping doubles? We're back. We're so back, Christian. we are so back.
Him and Zobrist have been working in the batting cages together.
Just ripping one into the gap, although he didn't stretch to 2. It's only a single.
Aww.
Sad.
Maybe he should actually be an athlete and he would be okay.
Pitchers are athletes too, just like punters.
Punters are athletes too.
Punters are people too.
Now I understand. So I knew there was a lot of Cubs talk going on right now.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of long, awkward pauses, you drawing it out. And I wondered why. And then I flipped over to the show schedule, which we have every single day, even though we generally don't follow it. But the 3:15 segment, something really interesting is here.
Yeah.
I believe it says Trey Punk's Meat. Trey who? Who are you talking about? Trey.
Do we know any Treys?
No. Like well, a serving while, tray, but it's spelled with T-R-A. Trey Young spelled like that.
Well, for a while, Trey didn't know Treys.
I see what you did there. I see what you did there. But seven threes against the Bulls in Summer League?
Trey Young and the Atlanta Hawks played the Bulls in Summer League yesterday.
Okay.
Trey Young shot a pretty decent percentage from 3-point.
7 of 13?
For those keeping track at home, that would be a 53% rate from three, rounding up to 54. Scored 24 points, 36% from the field, leading all scorers, I believe, as I'm looking through the box score here. I don't see anyone on the Bulls or Hawks scoring higher than 24. Bulls' Wendell Carter had 23, which did help ease my sorrows with his block play, continuously trying to help his team. 6 rebounds, a couple of big blocks. One of them on Trae Young, the other one just a monster that also got passed around the interwebs. But I had to live with myself knowing that Trae Young basically had his first really solid game where he goes off from three against my team. Now, it's Summer League, know that. But also, I just got a lot more scared that the good basketball gods are throwing some mad karma at me that I'm going to have to deal with for the rest of my life.
You think Trae Young's going to be one of those that, like...
Average player,
but whenever
I want him
the
to
Bulls,
lose. Whenever I want him to lose. Doesn't matter if it's my team or not.
It's going to be Kobe in Madison Square Garden.
Whenever I have a vested effort, or a vested interest, I should say, in Trae Young not succeeding, he will blow it back in my face.
I want you to stand up real quick.
Yeah.
Take the headphones out and just go look at the TV screen in the Bull studio real quick. I need you to do right now. I want the first reaction of what just happened. And there is just a smile across Jake's face right now.
Yeah,
as he steps
because,
next
guys,
to his chair.
I also had to knock on the window pane that separates us from the Bull studio. And Gordon Mays is also a big soccer fan. And I tried to tell everyone. I tried to tell him. No one would listen. This Croatia upset that is now looking like...
A probability.
A sincere possibility is all I'm willing to go at this point.
Not probability.
Because England has been able to score or generate a chance just about at will throughout most of this game. Especially as Croatia will probably try to slow pace down. England might capitalize on that pretty effectively. I'm still plenty nervous about the rest of this game. But Croatia just scored to go up 2-1. And I'm a happy camper right now, Christian, because I like being right. And listen, it's not great for the sport of soccer to have a Croatia-France final. It would have been much better for England. And basically, there's no excuse for England losing. And they're a choke artist for doing so. But at least, as a silver lining, plus 285, Croatia looks like it might hit. And I get to be right 2 days in a row. And gosh darn it, if that's not enough for me.
But also 7-13 is kind of nice.
7-13? Yeah. Oh, Trae Young again.
Yeah.
See, that's how fast I forget. As soon as I forget about Trae Young.
As soon as Croatia scores the goal.
Trae Young just poof, out of my head.
No, but I do think this was good.
He's 5'9". with lifts. Hey, bad news. He's able to make threes in Summer League.
I mean, it's still the same length.
Yeah, except Dante Ingram's guarding you. No, not Dante. Ryan Arcidiacono was guarding you most of the game. And then switched on to Wendell Carter Jr., who
actually did an okay job for a couple of the possessions.
He also looked like he had lead in his rump for a couple.
Yeah, it was a half and half.
And he said the right things after the game. He said, after Summer League, I'm going to work a lot on being more mobile, getting my feet chopping down a lot quicker. And that is the goal for him. Got to be able to chop those feet down better.
The goal scorer for Croatia was Mario Mandzukic.
Another itch.
Yes.
Got to scratch that itch, man.
Can we just end the show now?
No.
Like most of the time I would ask for like a break or something, but no, can we just end the show after that?
Never.
Okay.
This
show's never going to die. The shtick never dies.
This is not great for Juego Bonita. This isn't. Having Croatia in the final, which is going to happen now. You got to feel pretty bad about that. The game you're trying to sell to America right now, have been for the last 2 weeks, just took a significant hit.
There's a decent amount of Croatian heritage in the good old US of A.
The final in America will be basically a gigantic flop. It's not going to draw flies.
You don't think so? Even on a Sunday?
England being in it would have helped.
Even on a Sunday. Nothing else to watch.
I'm going to be at the John Deere all day.
Oh, you won't even be able to watch the final, man.
Yeah. And guess what? I'm over it. Because I'm going to be out mowing, having a great day.
Who's going to have a better time, you or the people that get to experience that with you?
Depends on how many Screw City Lights get poured.
Into your mouth? Just directly into your mouth?
Oh, yeah. Just mainlining it. Why play around?
Fair enough.
You'd be doing handstands in the aisle of that bus.
I want to see that. I want you to hand your phone to someone. Actually, shout out to you. I think I saw your first ever Snapchat story over the weekend.
Oh, yeah. Like once every 4 months, Snapchat story.
I can't say I've ever really been paying attention hardcore to your Snapchat before.
Good,
before,
because it only gets updated once every 4 months, so why would you?
Before we started the show, but now I kind of look out for that so that I can give you extra points on the millennial scale.
I think maybe the last Snap story I ever had was on a Monday Night Football broadcast when John Gruden and Guy Fieri were doing a cookout together. And my caption was, man, look at that going to Flavortown, man.
It's even better when you say it. I love it. Yeah. I love it so much.
I should have taken a video and didn't mean to do it. Man, look at that donkey sauce, man. Love me some of that donkey sauce.
Spider White 2 banana
about
sauce.
It's Guy Fieri here, man. Wow. Man, I'm just hungry now.
Well, I've been hungry, but, you know, I'm just hungry for more content.
Christian, they announced the lineup of the Home Run Derby. We'll tell folks who's in our pick to clicks. It's coming up Monday, but two Cubs are in.
You're doing picks to clicks for a Home Run Derby?
No, but okay. We got to talk about Home Run Derby because it's one of the more entertaining events of the summer.
Absolutely.
How does it compare to other skills contests? Is it the best skill contest across sports? We'll talk about it when we come back. Sports Fan Radio 1330. Sports Fan Radio 1330. Jake Logley, Christian Hager, glad you could join us on this July 11, 2018. Beautiful day outside. Temperature 91 degrees.
That is not beautiful. That is hot.
Oh, no, it's not. It's gorgeous outside. You know, apparently, Christian, the skies will be clear enough over the next couple weeks or so that we'll be able to see some of our solar system neighbors. Up in the sky, we'll be able to see Venus, Mercury, Jupiter, Mars.
Incredibly on brand. You seem like the type that would enjoy looking at the solar system.
I enjoy Mercury in retrograde. Judy, I'll be 103 this morning. Tell me all about it.
Yes, that is why your dreams have been super vivid lately.
Right.
Because Mercury is in retrograde.
And then I'll start having good days. Once Mercury comes out of...
See, I said it, and then you said it.
Comes out of retrograde.
Mercury.
Yeah, why do you plant these thoughts in my brain?
I'm sorry. I'm like fertilizer.
You are like fertilizer. Yeah. Did you just compare yourself...
Yes, absolutely.
...to cow crap?
Oh, absolutely. I just fed that one up on a silver platter for you.
Apparently... There was another joke in there, but I'm going to
pass on it. I know.
Have we reached the full 120 of this World Cup game yet? Can I make it officially official?
No, it's not officially official yet.
Well, I'm just getting more
nervous. It's in the 119th minute right now.
As close as I get to actually the whistle blowing, then it will hurt so much more if England were to win.
England has turned into every youth soccer team of all time. They just have like 9 players running towards the ball at all time.
Yeah, that's my FIFA strategy.
Just have everyone just run at the ball and then slide tackle
and just sprint. No, slide tackle isn't effective anymore. Slide tackling is like a guaranteed yellow card, at least if you do it like I do. So now it's just smashing A, just waiting for the tackle regular challenge to work. I am not good at FIFA.
It's fine. I'll teach you.
See, but like I feel like you teaching me is you just like wrecking me in FIFA for a while. And then
no,
just
I'm
like,
not that.
Well,
I'm
well
not
that was
that
fun.
Mean.
I hope you learned something.
No, I'm not that mean. Only in NHL. But side note, home run derby.
Home run derby, NL participants are announced. You were saying it's just going to be Stanton and...
Stanton or Judge, whoever
Stanton
decides
Judge.
They want to
hit that day.
And
we don't know if they're
going
to do it, but I think Judge already said he isn't going to.
They said they... But I feel like they might have like an inside bet with each other and push each other to do it.
The NL, Bryce Harper's decided to do it. Now, he has struggled mightily at points this year.
Yeah, but he's still hitting home runs.
Can't stop hitting into a shift. Max Muncy from L.A. for the Dodgers. Javier Baez and Kyle Schwarber will be representing the National League and the Chicago Cubs in the home run derby. So, obviously, the local spin is we heard that two Cubs will be playing or participating. We've
That's
had
all
a,
we had to hear.
We've had a year before that Brian and Rizzo were in. Now it's Schwarber and Baez. Way better chance that one of these two guys win than Brian
so?
Or Rizzo. Absolutely.
I think Schwarber's probably the prohibitive favorite out of those two.
I mean... Baez...
Baez will have, like, one really, really fun, pretty home run, but...
No, Baez is going to have at least one pretty home run, but he could win the thing if he just gets hot. Like, he is the equivalent of a hot three-point shooter at the plate. He rides the high. And if he starts finding a way to deliver the ball at a low trajectory, the problem is Javi likes to sky home runs. Schwarber does, too, but I've seen Schwarber just kind of muscle out a laser beam. Bryce Harper also could just murder a home run derby because I've seen him just hit absolute laser beams into the bleachers just at a cruising altitude of about 10 feet, just right out.
Yeah, he's clocked, I think he still has it, the highest exit velocity on a ball. It's either him or Stanton. I can't remember who has it right now. They went back and forth for a little bit.
And I got to be honest, I don't know the first thing about Max Muncy or with the numbers he's putting up, but I'm sure he deserves to be there if he's...
I'm pretty sure he is one of the fan votes, one of the final vote participants.
He is in the
hashtag Mad Max.
You don't have to be in the All-Star game to be in the Home Run Derby, obviously, as Schwarber and Baez are clearly not going to be All-Stars.
But, no, Baez is.
Oh, Baez is a... Yeah, I just meant Schwarber. Why did I say both?
But, well, because he shouldn't be, because it should be Ozzie Albies. But,
hey, bro!
But...
Or Scooter Gennett.
Or Scooter Gennett. But, no, what was I going to say? No, I do enjoy the final vote because it actually forces MLB social media team Twitters to be really, really fun. Like, the Brewers have We Believe in Jesus as their hashtag to try to get Jesus Aguilar in there.
Right.
And then,
well,
like...
Who, by the way, should be in there.
Absolutely. I know that the Dodgers, their hashtag is Mad Max for Max Muncy being their final vote participant. I just like when there's fun little natural hashtags like that, and I hope they carry over.
If Mad Max or We Believe in Jesus was used by the Cubs, you would hate them.
Absolutely.
Right.
But it's
the
Cubs.
But you would claim it's an unbiased hate.
No. 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 Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. No, me?
Never.
Who, me?
Little me, never. I'm an angel. I'm never biased, ever. I don't even know how to be biased.
Speaking of biased and the teams you hate, did you lose sleep last night over Max Pacioretty and the Blackhawks?
No.
No?
No.
Don't let it keep you up at night? That's good.
No.
Because it's happening.
Okay.
No, it's not. I've heard nothing on it.
Nothing at all.
Nothing relevant at all. It was just people floating the idea and me just being like, yeah, that should happen. And then it never came from anyone of note.
This is getting real close, man. Real
close. Real close to final time?
Oh, yeah. We had 4 minutes of stoppage time, unless that's a six. I'm pretty sure that's a four, and we're about to enter the 120. We're actually in the 125th minute, so I think this should be called. But England has a free kick from way outside the box, so they're not going to call it because they're still technically... on the attack, the beauty of stoppage time.
Well, you just kind of lob it in there and hope someone gets a head on it, right?
Yeah, this is when you call your goalie up, which he is standing in the box right now.
You know what I always thought could be a rule?
What?
That if the other goalie is in the other penalty box, he can still grab the ball.
Like, he could still just,
he
like,
could still just punch
volleyball
the ball in.
In.
He could, maybe he can't, but he can just use a closed fist.
And that should be it as Croatia clears the ball, waiting for, yep, Croatia is on the field. The pitch.
Thank you for saying field.
It is not coming home. It's not.
It is officially not coming home.
But now we get England-Belgium in the third place game on Saturday. Great Saturday viewing.
England's going to not try that game at all.
You don't think so?
No. Like the same place, they could keep that camera up that has that huge watch party that had the beer splashes.
It's going to be like a quarter full.
Maybe like seven people will be there. English people do not get fired up over third second place. Hey, guys. I just want to be honest.
You called it?
Well, it's July 11. It's not the first time England got upset by a small underdog.
Wait, where's it at? Where is it at? Hold on. Where is it? I need it. I need it in my life. Hold on. Here we go. Let's scroll down a little bit. Yeah. Scroll down a little bit. Here it is. Here.
Yep. Yep. It ain't the first time. Those folks across the pond fell to a gutsy
defensive underdog.
Underappreciated, undermanned, underdog. And we celebrate it every year. And we will continue to. And it was not going to fall on some Saturday. If it falls on a Wednesday, so be it. And we set this precedent. In Croatia, you're welcome for the great example of how to take down a juggernaut when no one gives you a chance. Write your own Declaration of Independence. And his name, and Thomas Jefferson for you, is Mario Mandzukic. Was that worth it for you?
That was even better than I could have ever expected.
Absolutely. I'm glad I could be of some service to someone out there who maybe needed a little lift to their day.
I needed that lift. I didn't know I needed that lift, but I needed that lift.
Croatia officially moves on to the World Cup final, 2-1 over England, certainly falling well short of what a lot of English fans were walking in with their expectations being today, thinking they were going to cruise into a final against France. Croatia-France, our final, that's Sunday morning, I believe.
Yeah, Sunday.
10 o'clock Eastern, so 9 a.m. Central is maybe what we're looking at for the start of that game.
I will give you the exact. I didn't think it was that early. I thought they were going to do a 1 o'clock again like they had
right,
been
but
for
I think,
the.
Yeah, that would probably make more sense. But I'm slightly.
You sounded pretty confident when you said that. Like you scrolled by it at one point in time.
I thought I saw him flash it on the screen at some point. Is the second place or third place game on the same day?
No, it's on Saturday. Third place game's on Saturday, okay. And then the championship is on Sunday. Championship Sunday. Man. Using soccer terminology. I mean golf terminology.
Yeah, so Saturday, third place day would be moving day, as in we're moving out of contention.
I think they're fully gone out of contention.
Can I ask a soccer question real fast?
Sure.
Can you tell me what a boxing day is?
It's the same. It's when the rivals play each other.
Okay. But then I've heard it used as a noun, a boxing. Like a box. They have a box that day.
They have a box.
Or a boxing or something.
Yeah, it's also one of those things that I've always wondered about, but then I realized, yeah, it just seems like there's a lot of...
I've heard boxing day be turned into a noun.
But it's a holiday. Two.
Holiday as in, like, schools closed?
Let's find out if schools closed on Boxing Day. Here we go. This is what we're going to
do. Day? They extend a weekend? Or like, Arbor Day, where they're like, go to school, nerds. Sorry to anyone who celebrates Arbor Day.
Boxing Day is Wednesday, December 20th. Boxing! Duh! It's like Christmas. Boxes.
Is that what that is?
It's Boxing Day is the holiday celebrated on the day after Christmas Day. It originated in the UK and is celebrated in a number of countries that previously formed part of the British Empire. It's the first weekday after Christmas Day. I still have not figured out what exactly they do on Boxing Day. There's an attached bank holiday and public holiday. Yeah, still nothing.
Banks takes a soccer-based holiday off?
There are competing theories for the origins of the term, none of which are definitive. First weekday after Christmas Day, postmen, errand boys, and servants of various kinds expect to receive a Christmas box. So you're supposed to give your postman a Christmas present the first weekday after Christmas, apparently, or something.
Soccer fans are so the worst. They
this isn't a soccer holiday. This is a UK holiday.
That's based around what?
Not soccer.
Okay.
About Christmas and giving Christmas boxes.
Well, Christian, you have... Why do they call it Boxing Day when rivals play?
I think it just happens
to be... Oh, they do that on Boxing Day.
On Boxing Day, they get a lot of players... There are a lot of teams that are rivals playing together.
Now I'm starting to wrap my head around it.
Why is there... Here, if you type in Boxing Day soccer, first thing, Washington Post, why is there so much Premier League soccer on Boxing Day? Just as Americans get football on Thanksgiving.
Oh, okay.
Britons get...
Brits.
It's Britons get their own definition of football, read soccer, on Boxing Day, a.k.a. the day after Christmas. All 20 Premier League teams participate in the game. Which means it's nonstop games pretty much all day long.
Huh. Well, very interesting. I'll tell you what. Let's wrap up hour two. When we come back, we'll digest that Croatian win. I'll collect my earnings. And we'll come back with more hotly contested sports talk. It won't be Boxing Day. It's not Christmas. But it's pretty close. It's another edition of our little afternoon shindig here on Sports Fan Radio 1330. Sports Fan Radio 1330, Jake Logley, Christian Hager, good to be with you. Wrapping up the second hour of the program. Here till 5 o'clock, that's when the king of Rockford Radio, Dean Irvin, will be taking over and taking the reins for the next half hour after that. Christian, you played Voodoo Child by Jimi Hendrix there, and one of the greater influential guitar songs of all time, maybe mm-hmm. the most influential guitar riff of all time,
mm-hmm.
but it's encouraged so much poor wah-wah pedal playing. It's enabled so many people who shouldn't have multiple variables, a third variable with their foot rocking back and forth, and just allowed so much average wah pedal usage that I do slightly resent the song.
You think it's fully because of that song?
It's because everyone hears that, like, I want to do that. Like, turn the wow, 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 and then they end up just butchering it.
What would you say would be some good wah-wah pedal usage
that
after
song.
That song?
I would have to come up with some really good examples. I'm just more thinking of, like...
You think Rolling Stone has an article about it?
Probably.
Rolling Stone has an article about everything. Oh, yeah, now I'm pulling at you. Yeah. I love this freedom.
Oh, when you move microphones?
Yeah.
Okay.
Rather than just keep it in one spot.
Well, that's just what I thought of when you brought that song up. Christian... I saw an article that I've been seeing like tweets about, and I've been seeing other things floating around the internet about it, but I didn't actually know what was going on until I had the article summarized for me. Associated Press did a write-up. A group of former Louisville men's basketball players filed a lawsuit against the NCAA over the organization's vacation of the Cardinals' 2013 National Championship and 2012 Final Four. Luke Hancock, 2013 Final Four Most Outstanding Player, and four teammates from that title team said a lawsuit has been filed and described as the NCAA as a morally bankrupt organization that exploits student-athletes during a Wednesday news conference. So I don't really know what they're suing for. Says the NCAA cast them in a false light and seeks declaration that it wrongfully vacated the plaintiff's wins, honors, and awards. And trying to get the championship back to Louisville, Kentucky. And why this bums me out is that the NCAA is probably going to win this. Because if there's one organization I don't trust to come up totally clean, less than I trust the NCAA, it's probably Louisville basketball.
Fair.
So when... all this dirt that the NCAA could probably pay some very good lawyers to come out and dig up on Louisville to prove that this was a right way, a rightful vacation of a championship, and the NCAA is going to come out ahead, and they'll have more fodder to say that they are a morally upright organization. Like, I wish someone with a little more, like, it wasn't suing, trying to expose the NCAA for being corrupt over the vacation of a championship. Like, it should be about something else, because both parties are in the wrong. Like, the NCAA is a morally bankrupt organization,
but Louisville,
that's true.
Let's not forget what you did.
Not far behind. So it's just the lesser of two evils, and I'm not ready to play that game, and the NCAA is probably going to get fodder to come out and say that, hey, we did nothing wrong, we don't do anything wrong, we do things the right way, look, this lawsuit sets that precedent, that we only ban teams, we only punish teams for truly acting like they're above punishment. You're looking at the computer screen intently. Have you found any results from your
Stevie
theory?
Stevie Winwood played the organ on Voodoo Child.
Steve Winwood did? Mm-hmm. Higher Love Steve Winwood?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good note.
But that's Guitar World's number one song for wah pedal solos of all time. Number two, White Room. Number three, Sweet Child of Mine. Number four, yep. Enter Sandman.
Sweet Child of Mine is very, very finessed wah pedaling.
Because, and they bring up a point that back then live, Slash would do Voodoo Child as a live lead-in for Civil War and mess around with the wah pedal. Pearl Jam, Even Flow.
Yeah.
Another one. The one that obviously, Blinded by the Light. It's not a bad one. But the most obvious one for me was Bulls on Parade. And
okay.
I'm surprised it did not come out of your mouth.
Well, I'm having a hard time, Christian, and I apologize for not being able to access the deep recesses of my mind.
It's fine. I didn't think that was... Never mind. You know what? I forgive you.
Thank you. Thank you for doing that.
And I don't blame you.
I appreciate you so much.
But I know you don't, but...
As you are like me in trying to fight for the soul of college athletics, this also isn't a good look for anyone involved here to have Louisville and the NCAA trying to fight it out for who's the more morally bankrupt group.
Answer, neither.
Right. I mean... These players individually didn't do anything wrong, and that kind of stinks.
I get that point, that, hey, we have felt undue punishment for something we personally did not partake in, but I just don't see, like you said, I don't see a way of them winning this or coming out ahead of this.
Plenty of NCAA championships have been vacated. You know who usually doesn't care about it? Guys who are in the NBA making money.
Yeah, it seems like the ones who are suing are the ones that just didn't have a career.
The Luke Hancocks of the world.
Speaking of, real quick, real fun story came out about Chase Buttinger, who was in the dunk contest. Speaking of fun All-Star weekend festivities,
yeah,
he's now a professional beach volleyball player and making a good amount of money and doing very well in it, which leads me to believe that if you took more basketball players and taught them how to play volleyball, we would just dominate.
Yeah, you think?
Just domination.
I say it all the time when we talk about UFC. Like, if you got the guys that are genetically predisposed to be football players, and you got them kicking people in the head and choking people out from the time they were five, just strangling dudes and wheel kicking dudes from the age of six, they'd be the heavyweight champion of the world, like, no doubt about it. It'd be the easiest money they've ever made.
You think that's why Hardy's doing well?
Hardy's going to be a champion, and that's the saddest part, is that he's going to be good at it because he's just a supreme athlete.
More, mm-hmm.
John Jones, maybe the greatest of all time, is Chandler Jones' less athletic brother.
Fair point, yeah.
Brock Lesnar, the biggest physical freak the UFC's ever seen, went to football camp. I mean, he hadn't played football since high school, but he went to Vikings camp and got cut on the last day. Couldn't cut it with that size and that speed. Football is size and speed with all this technique pounded on top of it. You apply that same athleticism, that same malleability to fighting, all of a sudden, I mean, the same thing applies. If you get that height, that leaping ability from basketball players applied to beach volleyball, they're going to dominate. It's absolutely. Baseball players probably be great golfers if they just stopped. They didn't start with the baseball swing. They started with the golf swing instead.
Makes sense.
Sports Fan Radio 1330. Jake Logley, Christian Hager. Hour 3 is coming up next. Hour 3 of the Jake Logley Show, Sports Fan Radio 1330. Jake Logley, Christian Hager, happy to have you along for the ride. SportsFanRockford.com, the brand new website. Full-length episodes of Randy and Company in the mornings. Randy is out this week, doubling up on the company. Mike Morgan, Paul Orko have been taking care of Tuesday, Wednesday, and they will be in tomorrow. Matt Trowbridge, Alex Gary back on Friday. Frankly, I don't think the show sounded better, Christian, so maybe we should be taking notes about how to make this thing improve. Randy leaves, everything goes up. Maybe I get out of here, we start bringing in fill-ins, and maybe this show will take a little bolster, too.
I don't believe that for one second.
Well,
yeah, I tried to give you a compliment. It's fine.
I don't know what drugs you're taking. I don't know what you've ingested in the last 4 minutes that have made you this way, or that this vociferously, but I miss the old Christian.
I know what you did during the break.
What's that?
Went on thesaurus.com.
Vociferous?
Yeah.
Ask me to spell it.
You definitely looked it up over break then.
No, this is all that's on my screen.
Spell it, Jake.
V-O-C.
Uh-huh.
I-F.
Uh-huh.
E-R-O-U-S.
I'm assuming that's correct.
Well, check me on it. I already got modicum correct. Did I get vociferous correct? V-O-C-I-F-E-R-O-U-S? That's what Google's telling me? Vehement or clamorous? Am I 2 for 2 here?
Yeah, you're 2 for 2. Congratulations. Okay, Mike, cool.
Do you trust that I didn't look it up?
Yeah, no, I trust you didn't look it
okay,
up.
Okay, well, thank
you. I feel like it was a word that you missed in a spelling bee back in grade school, and you've never forgot it.
I panic under pressure, and I was not very good at spelling bees. I got knocked out on simple words whenever I'd qualify.
Spell dog.
That you're not that far off.
Something like that. Things of that nature. Preposterous.
I went furthest in a geography bee. And then it was a final question that I didn't know the answer to. So out of panic, out of getting it wrong in a genuine effort, I panicked and just said Cuba to try to be funny.
It was probably Croatia.
The answer was Tenochtitlan.
Tenochtitlan?
Yeah, Tenochtitlan was the real answer. But that's another grade school story. We've gone through a few of them today. The most on-brand story of your childhood, that's another pretty on-brand one. So afraid of being wrong sincerely that I choose to be wrong out of funny without ever leaving a chance for myself to be right.
So here's one for you.
Okay.
Generally, when things are looking bleak,
yep.
Maybe you run in trouble with the law.
Yep.
You don't purchase a lawyer or get a lawyer unless you're seriously worried that it might, I don't know, turn into something realistic or something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Might blow up in your face. Then you feel like you need a lawyer.
Right.
So I'm just saying it's probably not a great sign that LeSean McCoy hired a defense attorney today.
All right. So yesterday, before we went on the air, we got word of an allegation that had been made against LeSean McCoy claiming some horrible, horrible things. A picture of his ex-girlfriend all beat up. Her friend saying that LeSean McCoy was the perpetrator. Again, we're only talking about the accusations, not assuming any of this is real at this point. Also claiming that McCoy abused his pet dog, abused his son for wetting the bed, all kinds of nasty, nasty claims in there. His ex-girlfriend's attorneys this morning made the claim that someone broke into her house, their old house, beat her up, asking for specific pieces of jewelry that McCoy had purchased her. Also, in the last week, McCoy had changed alarm systems and cut out the surveillance that was previously on the home. Now, the new piece of news that Christian just gave me, that McCoy has decided to lawyer up. I don't want to go on the limb and say lawyering up is it all an indictment. I think this has gotten serious enough that he'd be dumb not to lawyer up.
Fair enough.
Yeah, it's caught enough mainstream attention that you do need a professional handling your PR moves at this point.
Plus, I think it's gotten complicated to the point where you have all these pieces.
McCoy
and
made a public denial yesterday.
Yeah. Said, I've been in Miami training. I wasn't even around the area. I had no part in it.
Well, but what the claim is now is that someone else came in, was asking for specific things that McCoy had asked for back previously. Also changed alarm systems, also cut out surveillance. It's not a good look for Shady McCoy. And if any of this, much less all of it, is true, this is where lifetime bans in sports need to come in. Now he should also be serving jail time.
Yeah, absolutely.
For these types of offenses, again, if corroborated, if confirmed, if convicted. But not a great look on the sport that currently needs all the PR help it can get when you're just when you thought you had tackled one problem, the domestic violence, you thought you'd put a good piece of trying to cut down on the availability of players to do that. So You kind of got that out of the news. Now it's more about the national anthem. Just when that fire starts to kind of not that you did anything to put it out. In fact, you made it way worse, but at least that fire was just slowly dying out in its own volition. Another big word of the day. Now the domestic violence thing comes pouring back into your life. Oh, and it also might be child abuse. Oh, and it also might be animal abuse. Things that NFL players have already gone to jail for and or gotten in trouble for in the past.
It's just like a, not to make light of the situation, but it's like a greatest hits of what the NFL has been in, how NFL players have been in hot water about before.
Yeah, it's the trifecta. Michael Vick goes to jail for dogfighting. Adrian Peterson probably should have gotten suspended for taking a switch to his kids. And then, of course, we've seen the video of Ray Rice punching out his wife in an elevator. And now all three of these things somehow coming together in one just holy trinity of awful.
But, like you said, I mean, lawyering up does not necessarily mean
no, because we're talking guilty. About it. We're looking at how we just talked about it. Of course, at this point, you need professional counsel to help you to figure out where to go from here. So I'd shy away from, usually you don't want to get a lawyer unless you have something to worry about. No, even if you don't have anything to worry about, even if you're totally innocent, get a lawyer. If you're, a little piece of advice for you, Christian, if you ever get arrested for something you didn't do, does not matter. Do not deny, I need to speak to my lawyer. I need to speak to my lawyer. I need to speak to my lawyer.
Fair point. Fair point.
And I, you know, that's just the way you're supposed to do things in the real world. Because unfortunately, everyone's looking for a reason to indict you. So you do want to let things play out. We saw last year bad allegations made against Addison Russell. Granted, we haven't gotten a whole lot of
clarification,
severe exoneration of some of the things that were claimed that were done. Some of the things also not illegal. So can't ignore that, but he never stopped playing. He took a leave for a week or so, came back, played, still playing for the Cubs. Hasn't played well.
but he could be a trade piece for one Manny Machado.
But if you're one of those guys that likes to do their fantasy draft in July, might want to pull Shady McCoy off your draft boards.
Just for safety's sake.
And also, what the heck are you doing your fantasy draft in July at all? I saw some people talking about like Ultimate Fantasy Football Challenges already, like signing up for them, and I was like, what is going on? Football's knocking down our door.
Football never stopped, never left.
You're right, it doesn't.
They grabbed a cold beer and they sat down on the couch and took a nap. They're still there. They're still in the house. The beer is half drank.
It's also a little warm.
But they never left.
But that's never stopped us before.
There's a slight stench coming from the couch.
Kind of like this room.
Sorry.
Oh, well, yesterday we were talking about Mitch Trubisky's Madden rating, so I know we weren't having much NFL stories today. Now we have two in for off-the-field stuff. So it's kind of in a lull right now, but you're right. Football is definitely king, especially around here. There's nothing that beats the energy when football season actually starts rolling around. People care about that way more than basically any other sport. 815-874-1330, the number to call if there's anything on your mind. We're going to the phones right now, see what's up there. Good afternoon. You're on Sports Fan. Who do we got?
Holy cow, what a great match that was today, gentlemen. Are you pumped up like I am? This is Scott. I bleed Croatian blood.
Scott, I bleed Croatian blood when they're plus 280 and you capitalize on it.
I've literally been driving around all day today, you know, with our lovely weather here in Rockford. I had the match on. I occasionally will throw on the Sirius. Not that I don't have you guys at 24/7, but pretty close.
Appreciate
you. Honestly, I have to admit it, and Jake, you know, I hate soccer.
Yeah.
I can't stand it. It was pretty, I listened to like the extra minutes and stuff, and it was pretty exciting to listen to.
Apparently the pace was awesome. I got to watch most of the first half as that was going on from 1 to 2 right before we go on air, and it was very exciting pace of play, and that we have that to look forward to. But Scott, let me ask you a question. As a guy who hates soccer,
yeah,
is it possible that and your sports affiliations are mostly geographically related, right? You're fans of Chicago teams, mostly.
100%.
If the best players in the world in soccer played in the MLS and played in America and had a Chicago in front of their name, do you think you'd be a soccer fan?
I would be willing to give it a whirl. One of my best friends goes to the games in Chicago, and I promised him I will go to one with. I will give it a chance. It sounds like the awesome Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta sells out whenever they have soccer there. So I'm willing to give it a chance. I will give it an honest chance.
Because I'm like you.
I've been to hockey games. I've sat on the ice behind the Blackhawks bench, and I did not have 1 ounce of fun. I went to the bar at halftime or in between periods, whatever it's called, and I watched the Bulls game.
Well, I respect that, but I'm like you. All my sports affiliates have Chicago in the front. I was just born with it. I wasn't born with soccer. I wasn't raised going to soccer games, so I just have already enough sports. I don't need more of it. I don't know if I hate soccer. Maybe I just don't have the emotional investment, and maybe if I had it, I might enjoy the actual strategy of the game more, like a great game like today.
So are you – I think the final on Sunday is like Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, it's Sunday afternoon. Absolutely.
Are you guys both watching it?
I'm going down to the John Deere Classic. We're taking the bus down there.
I'll be watching it.
Oh, that's awesome. That's even better.
That's how we're spending our Sunday. But certainly, we'll see what the betting line is. Croatia's going to be a heavy underdog there, too. I mean, I'm such a degenerate, Scott, as you know. I'm waiting for any reason to capitalize on July sports and put a little action down.
I'm not much of a fan of the French, so I think I'm going to lay some cash down on Croatia. Well, I'll be right there with you.
And the good American I am, Scott, I reminded everyone that Croatia isn't the first small underdog to beat the English.
All right, there you have it. I'll hang up and listen to the rest of your show, guys.
You're the best, Scott. Thanks. Our friend Scott, always calling in to check in with us, see what's going on. And listen, if Scott was listening to the Listen to Soccer Game on the radio, maybe there was something to this thing.
He did say it was satellite radio, but...
But listening to a game.
Yeah.
That's a whole nother level. I don't listen to anything.
Well, okay.
I don't listen to sports games.
I was forced into listening to a lot of sports games.
Unless I'm in transit, I usually don't do it. And that's well, I know that's not a...
That was the only way I could... I mean, when the Ducks won the Stanley Cup, I had to listen to it because I was at a campground in the summer. It was summer camping months. And... I had to listen to it on a satellite radio.
And listen, I'm not badgering using radio feeds. I like radio announcers. I love when I can line up a radio announcer with a TV feed. That's maybe my favorite thing. If the Cubs game can line up where I can listen to Pat Hughes while watching the feed, and I like Lancaster too, but if I can line that up, I'm in heaven. Or the same thing with the Ed Farmer and the White Sox. Mainly because then I don't listen to Hawk Harrelson, and that's the best of the best. But I like having the visual for me. It's important. Now, the radio is great for when you have to travel, for when you had to watch part of a game to go to your buddy's house and watch the rest of it. You don't want to miss whatever's going on in between. But that's a different animal. If you're willing to listen to that soccer game, a sport you already don't know much about, that's a pretty big endorsement for the game.
Do you want to get slightly more excited?
Okay.
Plus 190.
Plus 190 only in the final.
Mm-hmm.
I was hoping for more. They're 285 against England. You said there's a chance they beat England and they'll get smoked by France. Why have all of a sudden the odds for the final come out and they're shorter?
Because it's the first day. The odds are going to move. So I would wait if I were here. Yeah.
How positive are you?
75%.
Because I don't know how soccer lines move. I don't. 75%. I didn't know they start short and then grow out from there.
75% positive that it's going to move.
Will that defenseman, will FIFA hold true to its rules? Because apparently for making any political statement, FIFA says there's a 2-game ban. And the guy who said we did that one for Ukraine or whatever?
Well, I don't think so because it was in like a random Twitter video. It wasn't like he did it in a press conference or anything.
Any public statements. That's what FIFA says. Now, FIFA, as we all know, is an upstanding organization just like the NCAA, and they always.
I mean, he would have been banned for this game too,
right? But maybe they've just sat on their hands for. I mean, he should have been banned for this one and the final, but
yeah, they didn't ban him for this game. They're not going to ban him for the final.
It almost make it more interesting, though. That might be worth it for them in terms of just having more intrigue around the final, creating more drama.
I guess I can see where you're coming from there,
because, like I said. Do we trust FIFA to do things the right way?
Absolutely not.
There we go. Sports Fan Radio 1330. There's another question for you, Christian. Do you think more people would be more invested in soccer if the best players in the world played in their region of the country? You'll answer that. I'll give some more thoughts on that when we come back. Sports Fan Radio 1330. 45 minutes left on the show. Can't wait to hear from you when we come back.
Sports Fan Radio, 1330. Jake Lovely, Christian Hager. It's good to be with you. 4:19 in the afternoon. Celebrating another World Cup finish. Croatia going to the final. Over England, they'll meet France on Sunday afternoon. I'll be on the bus out to Moline, and so should you. SportsFanRockford.com is where you can sign up. Get your seat on the bus down to the John Deere Classic. I know you're not making plans for Sunday. You might have plans Friday night, might have plans Saturday. You got Sunday free. Don't worry. You can have something awesome to do. The price is right. Only $60 gets you full round-trip transportation on a coach bus. Snacks and drinks on the bus, thanks to Prairie Street Brewing Company. Obviously, admission into the tournament. And then $10 in fan cash or in Deer Bucks or whatever they're calling it out there. I forget. I should have that information in front of me, but I don't. $10 off your purchase inside the fan store as well. So, no reason not to jump on, hang out with us, spend a Sunday in style going to watch 75 of the best golfers on planet Earth battle it out for a spot in the Open Championship, especially if they are not already qualified. You can have an automatic bid into the Open if you win the John Deere. So dreams could be realized
this weekend. ESPN has become BuzzFeed.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All of LeBron's best plays in GIFs?
No. Kane, the latest to see stellar performance and a defeat. And then they go through NBA, LeBron James, Cleveland Cavaliers, NFL, Tom Brady, MLB, Clayton Kershaw, NHL, Marc-Andre Fleury.
Is Harry Kane on the same plane?
Champions League, Mo Salah, WNBA, Candace Parker, college football, Sony Michel, men's hoops, Mo Wagner, women's hoops, Victoria Vivens. So they literally just broke down every single sport and like the best player from the losing team in the championship game and said, yeah. Look at pair of soccer to other sports.
Or just most high-profile player, maybe, because Fleury wasn't the best player on the Golden Knights.
No, but they said Fleury carried the Golden Knights to the Stanley Cup final in their first season, recording 4 shutouts with a 2.24 goals against average.
Yeah, they're also scoring like 5 goals a game.
They're just saying it's the best players came the latest to see stellar performance end in defeat. He scored 6 goals to lead all players in the event. So, yeah, he had a good...
Harry Kane?
Yeah.
He's a good player. He's also a Hotspur, so warm place.
Not for
heart.
Much longer.
All right, probably true. Why you got to hurt my feelings?
Sorry.
Christian, I have better news.
What are the better is?
Take two. Christian, I have better news.
What is the better news?
Cubs are back. Just picked off a stealing runner at second base to end the fifth inning, now trailing 3-4.
About 2 innings ago, you could have got him for plus 300, actually.
It seems like now you're just doing a me. You're just moving that mic just to move it.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, Cubs are back, so you have that.
Cubs are back. Yeah, they're still down, though, so nice try.
But not down by as much, and that is enough for me. Runs came by way of a Jason Hayward home run to get it started. And then Bryant scored Hayward in the fifth inning with a home run to center field, 3-4 the score. So the long ball bringing the Cubs, dragging them back into this game. With that said, it came up with Scott, but it was something I was thinking about all during the day. When I'm talking about soccer and fandom, and we got on the long segments yesterday about how you become a fan and how most people gain fan affiliations. I think more so than Christian thinks that it just has to do with geography. It's just a radius from where you live. The sports teams that are closest to you, you usually gravitate towards because your parents, your friends, your whatever are usually fans of that team or X team X, Y, or Z, and you usually jump on the bandwagon at a formative age that then develops into memories, and memories create fortified beliefs and tribes and all these types of things that we talked about yesterday. So in the same vein, people that say they don't like the game of soccer, they find it boring. I challenge them to think about the fact that if the best players in the world did play in America, just like they do in basketball, football, baseball, would they still hold the opinion that the game of soccer is boring, slow, or whatever? Or just is the soccer team closest to you, the most high-profile soccer team close to you, in our case probably the Chicago Fire geographically, because that's not a brand of soccer that's particularly fun to watch. And does that affect your opinion of the game of soccer, even if you've been exposed to it at its highest level, what soccer can be? If Cristiano Ronaldo, if Leo Messi, if Messi played in New York and Ronaldo played in L.A. and Harry Kane played in Chicago and spread all the other great players, Aguero played in Dallas,
all of these players and spread them around the United States, that would increase the reach of soccer and the magnification of people's passion for it a million times. And they, you wouldn't hear these arguments of soccer's boring. I mean, I guess people still say it about baseball, but it just seems to me that it's just a matter of the best players in the world don't play in our backyards, and we're geographically oriented creatures. You are the exception that will pick up Manchester United, even though it's that far away. Most people need it local. They need the conversation. They need the energy in their area to latch on emotionally. You're saying the internet can supplant that, but you're there. You're years ahead of where you think you are in terms of that. I think people are using the internet more. I think people are connecting maybe a little bit more. They're not using it to supplant local conversation yet. Maybe that day is coming, and I don't have a good read on it. Maybe it's coming sooner than I think. But I don't think we're there, and I think when we're talking about soccer, that matters. And I think maybe I'm retreading yesterday's conversation a little bit, but I'm trying to articulate it in a little bit of a different way so we could advance it a step further today because I was really interested by it. I think the biggest hurdle is not what we need to get more people on message boards. We just need better soccer players in America. And I don't know how to do that other than a bunch of people who have a boatload of money just all of a sudden throwing it at the wall, throwing it into the air, just making it rain all over the major cities in Chicago or in the country. But that's where I'm at with this whole thing. I don't think anywhere near as many people would hate on soccer if we had it played at its highest level in our cities here in America.
To a certain extent, you have a point, but there's a reason why hockey hasn't completely taken on. There's a reason why it's still the fourth out of the four major sports.
Yeah.
It's because the influx of talent came later in its career and also is kind of spread out. You throw the best players on a soccer team, you're still going to have the same issue of people saying it's boring. It doesn't change the game itself. I get what you're saying, but I think it's too late for that, which is why I think that it just has to be supplanted by the internet and will be supplanted by the internet, and you're going to have a more global society.
No, I'm not saying we could do anything to change that. The MLS is never going to be.
If they started coming over in the 60s, in the 50s, and the soccer leagues just grew from there, yeah, there's a point to be made. But I think that's just an obvious statement at that point. I don't think there's not much discussion to be had. Yes, if the best players started coming over in the 40s, 50s, the soccer leagues in America just grew from there, yeah, absolutely. But it's not like...
Let's simplify it then. You think soccer is as entertaining of a sport as hockey?
Absolutely.
Yeah?
Absolutely. I mean, there's... Both are more entertaining than baseball to watch.
No. I left baseball out of it. That's low-hanging fruit. Is it a more entertaining sport or as entertaining of a sport as hockey?
Yeah, but so is lacrosse.
Are you sure?
Yeah. I've watched college lacrosse games.
Then why isn't there the same amount of money in hockey as in lacrosse?
Because lacrosse was not as popular and also a little bit more expensive to play. Because there's not a pro lacrosse league.
But why isn't it as popular and why don't as many people play it? Why isn't there a pro league? Free market capitalism still exists. If it was that good of a product, cream should rise to the top.
A large majority of the NHL players come from overseas.
Canada?
Russia?
Sure. No. I'm talking about lacrosse taking as hot as hockey does.
Because I don't think there's as much influx of talent that it's a lot of homegrown talent. Because I don't think lacrosse is as big overseas and in foreign countries as it is here. Which it's not even that big here. But that's my point. I feel like there's not enough talent coming into lacrosse to build it up to that point. But the on-field product is probably equally as exciting as hockey.
It's just a hard thing for me to wrap my head around. Because I don't think anybody's turning away like more entertaining products. I don't think people are willfully wanting things that are less entertaining. I think people are searching for the most entertaining thing, not just the thing they know.
People turn away pop music all the time.
I don't understand what you mean.
People, so 90s grunge music was in response to the glorified 80s MTV generation. Yes or no? Yeah. I mean, we could say that, right?
90s grunge was a response and a contrarian movement to 80s MTV.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll go along with you there.
Okay. But now we're 20 plus years. It's starting to swing back to where there's a lot of 80s influence in popular music today. But can we both say that 90s grunge music and 80s pop music is probably equally entertaining or has of equal musical value to today's music and to just music as a whole?
Nah, I'm more ready to take the subjective argument on music than sports, but...
But my point
and
being
I don't,
is
I don't
people,
put the same value on both, but I... Okay.
People will turn away popular music just because it's popular.
Yep.
But it does not change the quality of the music itself. So it is still a good musical product, probably.
So you're saying you're a sports hipster. You're turning away the popular sports because you want to
be... I'm saying people won't turn away from the popular sports because they're popular. Even if the product on a lacrosse field is the same or as entertaining as the hockey rink, they won't turn away from basketball or football in America because it's more popular, even if the actual game of soccer is as entertaining as football
or
basketball.
It's also a full circle argument to what we were talking about earlier at the end of the 3 o'clock hour when I was saying that the best athletes in the world, if they did another sport, would be the best. Our best athletes don't play those sports. So the quality, the highlight reel nature of those sports, LeBron James played lacrosse, he'd be jumping over dudes and making such incredible plays, it would probably be the greatest thing we've ever seen. But no, he plays basketball because that's a more prevalent sport, and that's where the money's always been. So you filter to those sports that have been... I mean, we're pretty set in our ways, right? Maybe that's the end of the conversation in America. We're not going to catch on to any more sports. We're so indoctrinated into those major four, and there is a clear hierarchy of those four. At least we know what's on the bottom, hockey. We know that baseball is slowly becoming number three. Basketball is number two. Football is probably number
one. We're already picking up a fifth major sport.
What?
Gaming. Look at the stats. Look at the money being put in. Look at the money being made. Fortnite's about to have a tournament for $8 million. Grand prize.
That just made me so irrationally mad just now.
But then,
get
past the anger. Realize our generation, realize the generation a little bit below us, a little bit above us, realize that we're getting a little bit lazier, probably. More video games are being played. There's now a complete new lane that is opening up because more and more people are playing. More people are getting good at it, spending more time at it. People start watching it.
Do you think in 4 minutes you could compile a couple links that make me think that esports is the fifth major sport in America?
Absolutely.
We're going to take a break. Sports Fan Radio 1330. Can't wait for this one.
Chevy.
Sports Fan Radio 1330, Jake Logley, Christian Hager, good to be with you on this Wednesday, 4th in the afternoon, wrapping up, tying bows on our Wednesday edition of the program.
Jake, you know who's a fortunate son?
Anyone who's a son of an esports winner?
Ninja's new, Ninja, who is probably the top... Is the top?
You were going to assume knowledge at that point, and then you realize, wait a second, I probably should explain myself.
Is the top Twitch streamer? So it is basically YouTube just for games. Imagine YouTube for games.
No. This is how I would explain it. Imagine a whole cable box where you go through your TV guide, and it's just all channels that you can click on, except everyone is a different person just playing a different video game.
5 million followers.
5 million followers just for this guy's channel, where it's just him playing video games all day.
Mostly all Fortnite. He's played with Drake, things like that, but mostly all Fortnite.
How many hours a day do you think he is streaming?
250,000 subs, $875,000 plus a month that he makes.
$875,000 a month?
Yes.
For playing Fortnite?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a lot of coin. So many people are willing to... I mean, how does this... Is this purely off ad dollars? Is this off tournaments?
You get subscribers. You get pay a subscription fee to your channel.
Okay.
Also advertising, which then brings me to my next stat, that there's going to be $1.7 billion $1.7 billion spent on advertising alone just in esports companies, and $1.07 billion in 2019.
Yeah.
Is the expected revenue. Yeah. Now, if we're looking at the estimate of worldwide esports market revenue in 2017 by region, North America is number two to Asia, and it's really, really close. $406 million in revenue in Asia.
Yep.
$392 million in revenue in the United States, catching back up. You go to the ESPN homepage. You have NFL, NBA, MLB, college football, soccer, tennis. You hit those three little dots. What's third down on the list? It goes NHL, MMA, and then esports in that first column. So esports has its own ESPN column. It has its own ESPN section.
Just confirming that I heard you, $400 million in revenue last year? Esports as an industry?
Esports as an industry. Oh, that's just in America, yes.
Yeah, just in America.
$392 million market revenue.
The NFL in 2017 reached $14 billion in revenue.
Yeah.
Right, so it's new.
That's number one. Yeah. This was from 2014, Resistance, or 2015, Resistance is Futile. Esports is massive and growing. This is from ESPN. This is when they had an entire esports issue, and this was 2015. Time spent watching esports worldwide in hours, 3.7, this was 2014, 3.7 billion hours.
We all agree that hockey's number four, 2016-17, $4.43 billion in league-wide revenue.
And that's worldwide revenue? That's not just in America?
I guess maybe the NHL's also raking in a bunch of money from Canada, but no, it doesn't specify whether it's in America or worldwide.
So they're $3 billion behind in about, 70, 80 years less time?
Sure. How much do you think the MLS brought in?
$700 million.
I have no idea. I'm actually trying to look it up. Okay. That's your guess? $700 million.
Oh, you want to go? Oh, here. This was the last thing. So they are projecting you're going to have 286 million. Frequent viewers, and then another 303 occasional viewers by next year of esports as a whole. I don't think the MLS, would they even post that? I guess it would have to, wouldn't they?
Major League Soccer, I'm trying to think of what this symbol is for currency. I think it's Euro, 851 million Euro.
So... Yeah, that makes sense. About 700, right?
993 million U.S. dollars. That doesn't make any sense. Yeah, $4 billion for a fourth of what National Hockey League makes. Does that check out?
Yeah.
So, as of right now, MLS still number five. Soccer still number five in America. Based on United States revenue.
Yeah, based on United States revenue, yeah.
Okay. So, not quite. But like you said,
it's
in its infancy, already making $400 billion annually in revenue. Okay, that's a listen. I don't know how what the ceiling of this is. I have a suspicion that when this becomes normalized, all of a sudden that bubble will start to get closer to popping. It'll become destabilized when people all of a sudden realize this is old news and it's still not any different.
But here's the thing: is it's already gone through major evolutions. Because it started off with only like a couple sports in Asian countries or a couple games in Asian countries that got big. Blanking on this. Oh, I'm blanking on spacecraft, space war, whatever. There we go. So there were a type of game that were really popular to watch, and then League of Legends, okay. things like that. So these type of games got popular.
Yep.
They start selling out arenas for live watch parties of the world championships. Then first-person shooters take over, Call of Duties of the world. They start taking over, Counter-Strikes of the world. They start taking over, they get popular. Now it's moved on to Fortnite, which is a free game, now about to have $8 million in a prize pool for one tournament. And games like sports. You now have 2K becoming its own sports league. So it's already gone through evolutions from strategy games, where you have a team of five guys playing a strategy game where you have resource management, things like that, to shooters, more action, quick paced, to now sports games, each taking their own individual lanes
yep.
within one thing that is esports.
What do you
think? Maybe it's a little unfair to call esports its own. It should break like sports games, things like that. NHL Network, Gary Bettman, I told you about this, was watching the NHL Gaming World Championships. They put it on their network.
Yeah, because what else are going to put on NHL Network during the summer?
Replays of Blackhawks games?
Now, I would love that. Especially like Ducks, Blackhawks playoff games. The No Human Being series. I would eat that up. I would DVR them all. What do you think the ceiling is, Christian?
Well,
as an advocate for it.
Probably.
And do you enjoy watching it?
Yeah, if I like the game. If I have a history with it. There's not many times where I haven't like had a game that I've actually played. Because
yep.
I know, like, okay, I know how I play in this game, so I can appreciate the level of skill jump.
Can the same thing happen for someone who, even in youth, didn't play soccer?
I think so.
Can't appreciate the finesse of a touch when a ball's coming in.
But high. I think a lot of people played soccer in youth.
A lot, but all?
Not all.
Right, so in the same way that a lot of people our age grew up playing video games, there are some that didn't, and they probably won't have an appreciation for competitive video gaming.
Also,
like, I really don't have that much of an appreciation because I don't know the difference. I can't tell the difference between a super good 2K player and an average Joe 2K player until I would play them and get smoked.
Speaking of, I didn't even know this just fell in my lap. 5 hours ago, ESPN announced that they purchased the rights for season 2 of the Overwatch League. They're coming to ESPN, Disney, and ABC family of networks. The multi-year broadcast deal includes the Overwatch League playoffs, which begin Wednesday night, the Season 1 Grand Finals from the Barclays Center later this month, and Overwatch League Season 2 next year. In all, professional Overwatch will be broadcast in some fashion on the flagship ESPN network, ESPN2, Disney XD, ABC, and streaming services for the term of the agreement.
That might be a good fodder for the question of the day tomorrow. What has a better chance of being America's fifth sport, soccer or esports? Do I smell a tease coming on?
I think I smell a question of a day coming on.
I think we'll have a chance to have that graphic ready by tomorrow at 2:00.
Have they announced? No, they haven't announced how much that partnership was.
As birthday week officially begins, I'm going to make an esports question our question of the day. That's truly a sicko move on my part. Kind of a psycho move. Just kind of a masochistic move. But it looks like we're running that way. Let's grab a break. We'll wrap up the entire show when we come back. Sports Fan Radio 1330. Sports Fan Radio 1330. What are you doing to this program?
Oh, it's so hard to not just scream this in the studio right now.
Let me go officially on record and say that would not be a good idea. Christian, we start birthday week tomorrow. Are you pretty psyched up? We go back-to-back days celebrating our birthdays.
It hasn't already started?
Me tomorrow, you Friday?
I thought it already started.
You get the dance party Friday, though, for your birthday.
The dance party Friday?
Yeah. Can I get mad about any song selections on dance party Friday that's also the year of your birth?
You should probably
the
just...
the day of your birth?
You should probably just start suggesting songs. Yeah, we should do a Jake show tomorrow.
Isn't every day the Jake? Okay, that seems mean.
I mean, you get to pick the songs.
Yeah. No, I think the gift that you can give me is you still picking the songs, but not picking songs that intentionally trigger me.
Would this trigger you?
Twice.
It's just a question.
Is this our hot take music for the day?
Yeah, it's our hot take music for the day.
Soldier boy, tough. All right, at least put it real, real soft. Christian, you better be delivering real fast here for a hot take.
Oh, real fast?
Yeah, real quick, real effective.
3-0 France.
See why you got to do Croatia like that.
I'm sorry, 3-0 France.
Well, what are they on the money line now? Croatia's only 190. Does that mean France is not a heavy favorite?
It's not a heavy favorite. That's what I'm saying.
Maybe we
3-0 France.
Maybe we hammer that.
What?
As a team.
Oh,
as a
team.
Birthday team.
As a birthday team.
We hammer France on Sunday.
Well, I already planned on it, but 3-0 France.
I like that. Hot take.
This is the best hot take music of all time.
For a Wednesday, July 11th. Kevin Anderson defeated Roger Federer today. He'll face Rafael Nadal, who rallied to reach the Wimbledon semifinals. Not only will I pick that Kevin Anderson will win Wimbledon, he will do so in dominant fashion.
Just because he went to Illinois, which I didn't know until like an hour ago.
Now, it's not that hot of a take that'll win. If you beat Federer, you're probably the favorite from that point forward.
Mm-hmm.
But it will be dominant. Mark my words, whatever the betting odds are, it's the lock of the century. Whatever his matchups are, not worried. The guy looks like a tennis player. He's like 6 inches higher than Federer, taller than Federer.
So he looks like an athlete.
Is this just another Soulja Boy song? Do you just change Soulja Boy songs?
Yeah, I didn't realize we had like 7 Soulja Boy songs in the library.
Yeah, that's just in there for like legal purposes.
Like every radio station in the country has to have 7 Soulja Boy songs.
Yeah.
Did you realize Soulja Boy had that many hits? Certified bangers.
I could have named Tell 'em. I could have said Turn My Swag On and then Kiss Me Through the Phone.
Not even Pretty Boy Swag though?
You're right. I wouldn't have thought of it, but I should have.
You should have.
I can only get 3.
That's fine. Well, you got most of them. Good job.
Christian, any closing notes here as we're closing out? Wrap up's gonna hit in about 20 seconds.
Soulja Boy's underrated.
How dare you? No, get it out of here. Absolutely not. Not on my watch. We are not closing with Soulja Boy. Never.
He's so underrated, though.
Never in a million years. For as good of a music connoisseur as you are,
super underrated.
You come at me with that noise.
Yeah.
Anything that disgusting and deplorable on my birthday will not be allowed. The celebration starts tomorrow. Continues through Friday evening. Join Randy and company tomorrow at 6 a.m. I'll see you on B103 at 6 a.m. also tomorrow morning. Christian Hager will be with me at 2 o'clock starting tomorrow afternoon. Have a great night, everybody. SportsFanRockford.com. My name is Jake Lobley. Dean Urban's up next. SportsFan Radio 1330.